You're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. The following is a KVON sports presentation.
It's a football doubleheader coming to you from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. It's Napa against Vintage. It's the little big game, followed by big game number 47, high school football at its best. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into another sports presentation on KVON. Tonight, it is a football doubleheader, starting out with the undefeated Vintage Crushers of Napa with a 9-0 record in the JVs. Napa High comes in tonight with a 7-game winning streak. They are 7-2 overall. They also are 5-0 in league play. So, basically, this is for the championship of the new league, the Vine Valley Athletic League. I'm Ira C. Smith on behalf of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters, welcoming you in to our coverage of not only the little big game, but, of course, big game number 47 coming up about 7 o'clock tonight. Joining me on the broadcast tonight, the former player, coach, and you can just, if it relates to football, tell him that he does a great job because he does. Kent Fry.
Ira, they don't call this the little big game for nothing because this is a big, big game for both JV programs at Vintage and Napa High. And as you alluded to, Ira, the Vintage High Crushers at 9-0, and of course the Napa High football team at 7-2, winners of their last 7 in a row. This game is going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. I've been waiting all week just to see this game right here.
And the guy that has joined our crew this season has just been doing a great job when it comes to the Silverados in baseball, and he's getting set to attend college next season, but we're happy to have him around here as our statistician for tonight, Jacob Grant.
Yeah, it's quite the change from baseball. It's definitely a much more fast-paced, hard-hitting kind of game, and it'll be interesting to see. I know Kent was saying earlier that this is the game to watch to determine which of the schools, you know, wins big game this year as junior varsity. So this should be a fun game to watch.
And last year he was interning at KVON. He's with us on the staff now and is our engineer for this season, Angelo Lyons.
Go Angelo, rookie of the year.
And Angelo will keep us up to date not only with the results from what's happening here, but also we'll be shifting over to Dewey Green later. He will be at Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon for that game with Justin Sienna. That should be a dandy. If you're on your way over to Memorial Stadium, you may find trouble parking, but you won't find any problem as far as finding a good seat. If you're a Napa High fan, you enter, of course, through the Napa Gate. And Vintage High fans enter through, guess what, the Vintage Gate. And they do not allow crossing over once inside the stadium. And anyway, that's something we didn't have in the old stadium. This is the 9th year, though, for the new stadium after 59 years for the old Memorial Stadium. And tonight is Napa High as the home team in the game. So we'll be, if we allude to the home team, that would be Napa, although when you consider they both play their home games here at Memorial Stadium, it's not really an advantage either way.
Absolutely, Ira. It's a home game for both teams. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, and it's just great to, you know, as players, you want to have the fans come out and support your team. And that's what it's all about. And let me tell you, these JV kids is probably the most fans they've played in front of all year long, Ira. So it's a big game for them. They have the butterflies. They're nervous. They're ready to go. As they're warming up, they want to kind of get some of that energy out of there. But they're looking forward to this game just as much as the fans.
Well, it's going to be a dandy, that is for sure. This little big game getting underway very shortly has Kyle Shue in his 9th year as working with the Vintage Crusher. This is his 7th consecutive year as far as coaching. He had a little period of time where he was not coaching, but he's back as the head coach for the JVs. And Bumper LaRue is coaching the Napa JVs. This is his second year. In the series between these two schools, Napa has won 30 times. Vintage has won 16 times. Vintage won last year's game 14-6, and that made it two in a row for Vintage. The same score, by the way, Kent, was the previous year in 2016. It was 14-6 Vintage, and I imagine they would settle for that score this year, too, since they're coming in against a Napa team that's won seven in a row.
Absolutely, Ira. They just want to put points on the board and, you know, shut the other team out. But as you've seen, or what you just said, the last 2 years, very little scoring, 14-6. So, you know, that's the thing about Napa and Vintage. They say they don't know each other, Ira. Believe me, they know each other. They know what either offenses are run. They know what other defenses have run. And they're basically, these kids have grown up together playing Pop Warner youth football. They know each other. They talk during the season. They talk during school. Even though they're at different schools, they talk. So they're very familiar with each other. That's why it's a little bit more difficult to put points on the board.
We'll be back in just a moment as we will hear from Bumper LaRue, the head football coach for Napa High, when we continue our countdown to kickoff back after these messages. Welcome back to Memorial Stadium, along with Kent Fry and Jacob Grant. This is Ira C. Smith, and let's hear from one of the coaches for this JV game as Bumper LaRue comes into his second little big game as the head coach.
Well, first of all, Bumper, coming in with a seven-game winning streak, you've done a heck of a job putting things together.
Thank you very much, Ira. I appreciate it. We've worked hard. The kids are working really hard. We're coming out hoping we do good tonight.
Tell us a bit about the offense that you set up. It seems to really be functioning better each game.
Yeah, it's just a power offense, nothing fancy. We're just going to come right at you. We don't hide anything. We're just going to try to wear you down.
You've had a few injuries. Have they been significant?
No, everybody's been able to bounce back. We have Forrest that's still out with a concussion, and that's about it.
What do you expect from your players coming into this big game, the little big game?
Well, you know, big game is a lot of emotions are involved. I think the winner of this game is going to be who can control the emotions and be physical at the same time.
All right, have a great game.
Thank you, Ira.
Well, those are the comments from Bumper LaRue. This is his second year, as we mentioned. And, Kent, if you notice, the Vintage Crashers, their uniforms that they're wearing are the freshman team uniforms because they had more of them than they did as far as varsity and JVs. So they brought out the freshman uniforms, and they added, I think, 19 freshmen to the roster that already had two freshmen on there. So the Vintage JV roster will have 21 freshmen on it.
Well, it's a big thrill for these freshmen, Ira, who's been playing freshman football, to get called up to the JV, just as a JV player getting called up to the varsity roster as well. And, you know, whether they see playing time or not, they're on the sideline, they're a part of the game, they're a part of history, and they can feel it, you know, and it gives them an idea of what to expect for next year. So it's a great move by the JV coaching staff to bring these kids up, and don't be surprised next week, Ira, if we don't see a few JV kids from the Vintage Crushers called up to the varsity for the playoffs.
Oh, I am certain that will be the situation. Vintage will be getting in the playoffs, win or lose tonight. Napa High, with a victory, would get some bragging rights to help salvage what has been a very disappointing season for them, with an 0-9 record coming into this evening's action as far as the varsity is concerned. But right now we're going to concentrate on this little big game as the teams are getting about ready. So let's check with our isolated eye, Jacob Grant, to find out about the officials for this game. And I might point out that Roy Hammond, official we had last week for the game that we broadcast, is officiating tonight at the Wolf Den Stadium. He is the referee, or will be, in that American Canyon against Justin Siena game. So we know about Roy Hammond there. Let's find out who is here at Memorial Stadium.
So we got a five-man crew tonight. Starts off with John Little, and then it goes to Steve Franceschini, Kevin Keller.
You have their positions, too.
He didn't give me those. Just gave me the crew chiefs. Oh. Dave Brown and Pete Knight. Dave Brown will be the JV game crew chief.
Okay, so those are the officials, and the captains will be coming out to the center of the field here shortly for the flip of the coin, and we hope to get that related to you before we get this little big game underway. And, Kent, you'll remember, I'm sure, many of these previous coaches for the Napa JVs. Prior to Bumper LaRue, they had Ryan Purdy. On Vintage's side. On Napa's side, they had Chewy Martinez was the JV coach.
Yep.
And then Nick Tedesco for 10 years. And in fact, he was in the program for 13 years. Kind of missed seeing Nick out there. He was quite a fixture. Wayne Harbison for 4 years. And a guy named Troy Mott for 4 years. That was 1999 through 2002.
Troy Mott. I wonder where it became a Troy Mott.
Yeah.
And how he did later on after his JV career. You know,
wonder about what happened. And then we were talking about the Vintage side. That was Ryan Purdy. And then Kyle Shue for 2 years. And then, of course, he came back for seven more. Jim Nunley, 2 years. And Billy Smith for 9 years. And at least one of those, he had a perfect 10-0 season.
Absolutely. The JV programs at both schools have been very, very successful, Ira. They're fun programs to watch. And the coaches have done a great job.
All right, let's go to our isolated eye. They're ready for the flip of the coin.
So Vintage won the toss, and they deferred. And so we'll be seeing what direction Napa chooses to defend or to receive from. So it looks like Napa's going to be going from the Vintage end zone towards our own end zone.
So that would be from the north to the south as the captains shake hands, exchange greetings there at midfield, head back to their respective sidelines, and we're just about ready to get the game underway. You know, we have two great bands representing these two fine schools, and I was looking around to see if either is here to lead the national anthem for this, and I don't see it.
I think we have a young lady out at midfield. It's going to either...
Oh, it's going to be singing the national anthem. Yep. So we're going to take time out for these messages. We'll be back following the national anthem with our countdown to kickoff. Welcome back into Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. We're here for the little big game. Following that, it'll be game number 47. This is Vine Valley Athletic League competition coming your way. This little big game is for the championship of the league. Vintage comes in with a 9-0 record. Napa High has won seven in a row. They are 7-2 overall as we're getting set for bragging rights. We're not getting as many people as we usually have at the stadium, Kent.
Well, it's still early, Ira. We'll see as I think the crowd will keep coming in and so forth.
Right now, plenty of seats. So if you can find a parking spot, that's the thing coming over this direction. Well, the Napa Indians come onto the field first. Vintage Crushers are huddled around Kyle Shue down around the 40-yard line. That's their own 40-yard line. Napa getting set to send Christopher Horton back deep. And getting set to kick off is Tate Solis. He's a sophomore. Crushers have the kickoff coming, and Benito Saldivar has joined Horton back there at the 10-yard line. Saldivar is on the left, Horton on the right. Set now for Solis' approach to the ball, and his kick is spinning around as it comes back to the 11-yard line. Saldivar takes it up to the 20, right through the middle of the 25, the 30. He's out to the 40, and Saldivar's tackled at the 45 and goes down to the 47-yard line. What a way to start for Napa.
Yeah, what a great run there. Good block, good field position. That's just what Napa High needed to get this game going.
Napa High has Aiden McDonald, quite the athlete at quarterback. Excellent basketball player as well. They have Manuel Infante along with Saldivar and Trey Dennis in that backfield as they come up to the line. We are just underway. A wide out on the left side, tight end on the right side. Hand off to the second man coming through, and he's going nowhere as they make the tackle on Trey Dennis, a 5'8 sophomore, at the line of scrimmage.
Yep, Dylan Smith on the tackle there, Ira. And Bumper Lurie, right, they just came out in a power set, Ira. Tight end right, three backs in the backfield, just running a little 45 drive, tail back to the five hole on the right-hand side, or 44 drive on the right-hand side.
They have Rojas in that backfield now. He was shifting from side to side, and there's a flag on the play as Saldivar, or we should say Dennis, gets close to midfield, still in his own territory as he's brought down at the 48-yard line.
I think they're going to have a legal procedure. I don't think it was set, Ira. That's what the flag will be.
Okay. So that, yep, illegal motion there called against Napa High. So that will make it, apparently they did not accept the penalty, declined the penalty, so it'll go to third down. From the 48-yard line, needing 9 yards to pick up the first down, needing to get into Vintage territory, sending Rios out to the left side, and they have a wide out on the right side in Horton. And Aiden McDonald fakes a pass. Now he's going to run with the ball. He's at midfield. He's hit by one, hit by another. Boy, he was able to slither by Bill Scheidez, but was brought down there about 4 yards shy of a first down.
And Ira McDonald did a great job there just getting out of there. Vintage brought 8 guys. They were playing a 5-3. And I know they have Mo Shumpko up there from the freshman team playing that middle linebacker. Napa Fett going back to punt here, Ira.
So Napa getting set after a good return of the kickoff. Gets the punt away back to about the 14, out 15, the 20, 25, 30. And a flag comes out as he is hit at the 32. There is another late flag as Reed McCaffrey, a sophomore, returned the ball to the 33-yard line. But we had one flag back down around the 20. The other flag was more toward midfield.
Yeah, the one in the 20 is for blocking in the back. And the other one, I'm not quite sure.
Well, the referee giving the indication. Looks like a hold called against the Crushers on that return. From the point of the hold, to be a 10-yard walk-off. Just underway, first quarter, no score, just over 8 minutes to go here in the first period in this battle for the JV championship here in the Vine Valley Athletic League's first year. So Vintage is backed up all the way to their 10-yard line in that south, toward their south end zone. The ball is out at the left side hash marks. And coming in with the play is Bill Scheidez is working from the shotgun formation, and he gets the pass as he rolls back to pass. The pass is complete at the 15-yard line of the 20. The 25-yard line goes Edgar Navarro, and Navarro is spilled up then after picking up a first down for the Crushers.
Yeah, that was a nice little play. Navarro just kind of just sat there and delayed. It's kind of a delayed cross action in the backfield, then a little bootleg hit Navarro there, a little 5-yard gain, and then he turned it into another 15, Ira. Great job. Nice
so
play call.
Scheidez is working from the shotgun formation. Rojas is in the backfield now for the Crushers, and Scheidez fakes to Rojas, keeps it. Now he pitches it over to the side to Hatfield, and Hatfield's going to be dropped probably for a loss. Riley Hatfield just was out to the left of Scheidez and just took a pitch out, but was well covered.
Well, you know what happened? Scheidez should have given it to Navarro, the quarterback, because the fullback, he was wide open. Just ran the option, and Napa defense had that well read on quarterback and tailback.
Two good teams here in the little big game. So no gain on that play. It'll be second down and 10 yards to go. No score, first quarter, inside of 7 minutes remaining. Scheidez with there was some emotion there on the line, and we'll see if that's going to be a false start against the Crushers. No, it's going to be encroachment called against Napa High.
Yeah, he jumped off sides. Makes it a second and six, second and five here, Ira. It's a big play right there. If you can get the defense to give you 5 yards, you'll take that.
So the Crushers at their own 32-yard line now. Shidez gets the call from the sideline.
Vintage came out in double tights the last two plays. They're sticking with it here, Ira.
Sam Neal out wide to the right side. And there is motion by the Crusher. It's going to be a false start this time.
Vintage going to give that 5 yards right back to Napa.
Nate Perry just got a little anxious there and jumped off. So that will cost them that 5 yards. Makes it about second and ten.
These are the butterflies, Ira, from the little big game. You know, so get these butterflies out of the way.
Crosstown rivalry at its finest. A wide out to the right, wing to the left. And the tailback is carrying the ball, Hatfield. He's spilled for a loss, it looks like. They got him back at about the 26-yard line.
Yeah, Isaac Rojas on the stop there just came up and made the stop. He's going nowhere.
Yeah. So a big third down play if they're to maintain possession of the football. But they need 11 yards to do so. We're inside of 6 minutes to go here in the first quarter. No score in the ball game. Third down for Vintage. Sending out wide left side, Reed McCaffrey. There's a familiar football name. They have two setbacks in the backfield. Shidez is back to pass. He fires on the slant. Ball is tipped by the intended receiver, but he can't reach far enough to pull it in. So McCaffrey cannot hold on to the ball. Or actually, that would have been a heck of a catch if he was able to pull it in even.
Yeah, McCaffrey did a good job just to get his hands on the ball as the ball was overthrown. But nice little play call. McCaffrey was running just a post, trying to get it there, single up.
So it's going to be a punting situation now for the Crushers as they're making some changes there to get their allotment of 11 players out there for the kickoff. It's Saldivar back deep, and it's a bad kick, but it gets a good roll for Vintage down past midfield. Down to the 41, picked up there by Saldivar, and he is brought down at the 47-yard line as Saldivar was brought down by Reed McCaffrey.
Yeah, gutsy play by Saldivar to pick that up, I remember, on the roll like that.
Yeah, pretty well surrounded by the Crushers. Crushers in the white uniforms, burgundy numerals, burgundy football helmet, Napa High. With their navy collar uniforms, the gold numerals, and the gold football helmet. Napa with the ball at the 47-yard line of Napa High.
Both defenses showing their stuff, Ira, as Napa was out on three downs. Vintage had a couple penalties there, but were forced to punt as well.
Brody Jacks in that backfield now for Napa as the give is to him, and he gets to midfield, put his head down, and barreled into Crusher territory. So he gets about a yard into Vintage territory. Pick up of about almost 4 yards on the play.
Again, Bumper LuLaRue not hiding anything, Ira. As he said, he comes out, runs to the tight end side, puts three backs, two up backs, one tailback, gets to the tailback, and they just go outside the tackle next to the tight end. They're running strong side. Vintage in a 5-3 defense.
Horton out wide left side, tight end right side. And the handoff to the tailback, looks for some blocks there, but doesn't find them and gets maybe a yard or two as they again went with Brody Jack. So it will be a third down, although they could be in four down territory now, Kent, since they're down at the 46-yard line of Vintage.
I would expect so. You know, I really would.
See what Bumper LaRue has called for this. Working under center now is McDonald. McDonald hands off, and Dennis is hit for no gain and maybe had a loss. Wow, I tell you, as soon as Trey Dennis got the ball.
Mo Shamko coming in from that middle linebacker. He's a freshman, Ira.
There's that name, Shamko.
Another Shamko brought up from the freshman team, and he's playing the middle linebacker. That may force Napa to punt now, Ira. It's fourth and six.
Number 42 out there. Another Mo. You know, they've got a Mo on the varsity team that's pretty fast.
Maurice Castro.
No, dropping back now for the Crushers, expecting the punt is Sam Neal. There's the snap. And the kick is coming over, and Neal's going to pick it up at the 20-yard line, back to the 25. Or check, that is not Neal. That is McCaffrey again. McCaffrey, I didn't see the one on his jersey. McCaffrey is brought down after a short gain on the return. They're putting it out at the 27-yard line. So that's where the Crushers will take over. Just over 3 minutes to go, first quarter. No score in our ball game from Memorial Stadium. This is the little big game. Both teams with winning streaks coming into the contest. Vinny's with 9 straight. Napa with 7 in a row. Something has to give. We'll find out now as Shidez takes the snap. Hands off there in the backfield and not opening as that left side of the offensive line. Couldn't make an opening for him.
That's a good call, Ira. The linemen, the offensive and defensive lines of both teams just stalemating each other right now.
That was Dylan Smith, a freshman. Dylan had somewhat of an injury last week and did not play very much. Normally, he's one of the freshmen that gets a lot of playing time on the JVs. Anyway, we got
Vinny's coming out with trips now.
Trips to the left, tight end to the right. And a handoff over the right side with Avalos carrying, and Avalos able to spin away from one, but hit by another at the 35-yard line.
Kind of came back to the weak side, or if you want to call it strong side, because they had tight end right with trips on the left, single setback. Nice little play call. It's going to be third and short here, Ira.
As we come up on the two-minute mark here in the little big game, Crushers quickly line up, trip set out left side again. Shidez hands it off, and they try to power their way as it is Dylan Smith getting the first down. They mark it so that he picked up a first down to sustain this drive. He got it out to the 38-yard line. That moves the sticks.
Both teams just kind of playing power football, Ira, just trying to run up in between the tackles.
No score here yet in this little big game as Shidez has wideouts either side. Two setbacks there with him as he takes the snap, fakes a handoff, play action. Back, he fires long down the right sideline, intended for McCaffrey, but well over his head and incomplete.
That time Shidez had good protection. His back's protecting him. Good blocking up front. Just overthrown.
So that stops the clock now with a minute and a half to go here in the first quarter. Second down and 10 yards to go for the Vintage Crushers of Napa. Coming up to the line, sending Sam Neal out to the left side and slotting inside of him is McCaffrey. And Shidez pitches it out to the left side, and turning the corner is Smith. He's at midfield, down the sideline, the 40, the 30. They're trying to catch him from behind, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, the freshman, Dylan Smith, into the end zone, and the Vintage JVs take the lead.
Excellent blocking, Ira. Just a little toss sweep to the left side. Both slot and wideout made great downfield blocks. And, of course, the tackle came out to make a great block as well. Well-executed toss sweep. Great run there, Ira.
Well worth his grandparents who came down to see the game from Auburn tonight. They got here about 2:30 for the 4:30 game. And so I'm sure that they feel now that was worth the trip just watching that. Here's the extra point. Solis is going to try the kick. It's on the way, and it is good. So there's a timeout here at Memorial Stadium. A minute 20 to go in the first quarter. And the score, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 7 and Napa High 0. Back after this. You're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith as we're set for the Crusher kickoff. Tate Solis, who made the extra point, tees up the football at the 40-yard line. Horton is back deep, along with Jax, looked like back here this time, and there's a short kick, but there's a whistle as well, and a flag drop back at the 40-yard line. So earlier they had Benito Saldivar back as one of the fellas in the return, and this time he is not out there. Instead, they have Brody Jack back on the left side, and Crusher is being penalized 5 yards.
I just seen I see the real athlete of the Neal family down here, stated next to Cam Neal, his older brother Andy Neal, who played football for Napa High. Obviously the very gifted athlete of that family.
There's a little pooch-type kick, and it's taken at about the 37-yard line, and a fair catch is called for. And receiving that ball was Alex Caballero, and that's where the Napa team will take over, 38-yard line in their own territory. A minute 20 to go. We're in the first quarter. 7-0 is the score. Vintage has the lead. Napa with the football. Napa quarterback Aiden McDonald, he said he is quite the athlete as well, as he has now he's got a trip set out to the right side, and it's an empty backfield as he gets the snap, and he keeps the ball. He faked a handoff there to Hernandez and kept the ball and went to the right side, and boom, he got hit by several defenders for the Crushers, being
led by Edgar Navarro there, number 44.
Yeah, and Adrian Martinez also came in and had a hand on the runner.
Adrian McDonald, he was just trying to run that read option off the jet sweep look, Ira.
He faked to Manuel Hernandez and kept the ball. We're in the final minute now of the first quarter. 7-0 the score. Vintage has the lead. Hernandez this time is going out to the left side. Horton coming out to the right side. Now shifting, going over to the left side. Contreras comes to the right side. And they give a handoff there to Hernandez. Tries to turn the corner, trying to sweep out to the right. And ran into Riley Hatfield, who brought him down after a very short gain.
Well, Napa's been trying to run up in between the tackles, Ira. And now they're trying to run outside the tackles with the jet sweep look. Not having successes there.
They're still in their own territory at the 41-yard line with a half a minute to go here in the first quarter. Napa with that third down coming. Might consider this the possession play for them. We'll see if Aiden McDonald takes to the air. He is working from the shotgun formation. Has a single back Hernandez there going in the motion. And he fakes that and play action. And down goes McDonald. A sack in there for the Crushers.
Led by Ira, the freshman middle linebacker, Mo Shomko. Coming in now. That's twice on third down they've brought Shomko. So Napa should be looking for that.
Well, they added 19 freshmen to the roster that already had two freshmen out there. And so the ball is at the 35-yard line with fourth down coming up. And it will be time to punt. But that is the end of the quarter. So we're at the end of the first quarter here at Memorial Stadium. And our score, Vintage 7, Napa 0. Back after this. We're back here at Memorial Stadium. Let's quickly check some of the stats from that first quarter with Jacob Grant.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of stats to report on so far. The Napa Grizzlies so far only have 12 total yards rushing over their 5 running backs that they've had in the game. They have no completed passes, and Vintage has 1 sack on that, and then Vintage itself has 68
yards. Well, Napa was faking the punt, and they keep the ball, and they go down at the 30-yard line as Arturo Mendez was back here to punt, but then started to run from the punting position instead of punting the football and could not turn the corner. He was brought down at the 31-yard line in Napa territory.
That's a big gamble there by Coach Bumper LaRue there to run that fake punt, Ira.
It's a little big game, so let's do what we can. Let's see if we can fake them out. They did not. Now we come up with Shidez getting the snap, dropping back, looking, firing down the right side. The ball is tipped and goes incomplete. Wow. Nice job on the tip by Trey Dennis there for Napa High.
Yeah, looking for McCaffrey again.
The Napa defense trying to dig in as the ball is at the 32-yard line of Napa. Shidez, sophomore quarterback, sends Sam Neal out wide left. McCaffrey comes out to the right side. He's got Navarro there, and Navarro carries inside the 30 and gets down to the 28-yard line.
I just saw a very blatant roughing the passer call. I don't know if you saw that one, Kent. Defensive lineman breaks through and just shoves Shidez to the ground long after the ball was out of his hands.
Well, the play got them to the 28-yard line where it's going to be third down, about 7 yards to go for a first down now as Shidez. And on a long count, there is a flag dropped.
Trying to draw them off sides. Let's see. And it's going to be against Vintage Ira. They drew themselves off sides.
Yeah, false start there against the Crushers. That'll cost them five. So that's going to be third down at about 12 yards to go now for Vintage. Back out to the Napa 33-yard line. Shidez has the play call from Kyle Shue as he brings him up, and again they send Neal out to the left side and McCaffrey out to the right side. They still have Navarro there in the backfield for blocking this time as Shidez pass on the crossing pattern right there to Neal, and he dropped the ball. He was double covered there in that vicinity of the 15-yard line.
Trying to make that backhanded catch, or I call it where your thumbs are in together. Tough catch, but you got to make that. Sam's got to have that. He'd like to have that one back.
That stops the clock now. 8:48 to go here in the first half. Vintage 7, Napa 0. And Sam Neal out left side. They use the trip set left, tight end right side. Shidez has Navarro there with him in the backfield for blocking as Shidez is back to pass. He lets one go, and it's dropped again over at about the 25-yard line by Riley Hatfield.
Yeah, Riley was thinking first down. He's got to catch the ball first before you run, and just didn't look it all the way into his hands and was thinking of getting that first down, Ira, and therefore the drop football.
Yeah, that would have been close if he was able to have much of a run after the reception. So the Crushers are turning the ball over on downs, and Napa High offense comes back onto the field. Napa getting set now as they have Dennis back here at the tailback, but there is the flag, and we have encroachment called against the Crushers. So Napa gets a 5-yard break there. That allows Aiden McDonald to go over to the sideline to talk to Bumper LaRue. Vintage is leading 7-0 here in the second quarter with 8:42 to go. When we have an opportunity, we will be checking with Dewey Green there to find out about the JV game, how that's going with Justin Sienna over at American Canyon. Splitting out right is Horton, well out there as Napa High on the pitch out, trying for that jet sweep to the right, and then starting to cut in was Trey Dennis. As he made his move to the left and was brought down at the 40.
Vintage's defense, Ira, just doing an exceptional job tonight stopping the Napa High football team from either inside or outside, just limiting them for maybe a gain of 2 yards apiece.
Napa heading toward that north end zone. The ball is at the far side hash marks right at the 40-yard line. It's second down, about 3 yards to go for the first down. Horton is the only wideout as they have three in the backfield. And the handoff and the tackle is made at the line of scrimmage on Trey Dennis.
Boy, that's Mo Shampgold again, the tackle. Going low, making a nice tackle there at the line of scrimmage, as you say, Ira, for no gain.
So it's going to be third down. Napa High probably would punt if they do not pick up the first down, since they are in their own territory, and they did a fake the last time, and that was even deeper in their own territory, back at the 31. At least they're out the 41 this time.
Napa's defense playing exceptionally well.
Yeah, the tailback is Jack on the play, and the quarterback keeps the ball, and on the option, he pulls himself too close to a first down at 45-yard line, and he achieved it. Aiden McDonald, the quarterback, on the rollout, kept the ball, and was able to hold onto the ball and pick up the first down.
That was all Layden McDonald there, Ira, making that play happen. Didn't have a whole lot there, and was able to get about 4 yards for the first down.
Wyatt Shidez comes to the sideline. I wonder if those are the related brothers there on Shidez. They work the draw play right up the middle, and Jack carries into Crusher territory at about the 46-yard line. Boy, that was a quick trap up the middle.
Yeah, that's a nice play by Napa High there. Something different that Vintage hasn't seen yet. Pick up about 9.5 yards there.
So that will be second down and just about a yard to go now. 6.5 minutes to go in the first half. 7-0. Vintage is leading Napa. McDonald under center. Hands the ball off, and they get a first down as they get inside the 45-yard line.
Napa's offensive line coming to life here. Ira's just starting to push the Vintage defensive line off the ball.
And Jack was able to pick up that first down. Jack's getting several carries here in the second quarter. Brody Jack. This time Horton will come left side, and they have a tight end over on the right side. They have the I formation backfield. Oh, there was movement on the left side of the line for Napa as Contreras. Leo Contreras, just a little movement there.
Just hate to see that. You have some momentum going. You know, you had a nice couple runs, a first down, pushing the ball off, and then you get backed up 5 yards.
That takes the ball back out to the 47-yard line. First down and 15 to go now for Napa. They are in Vintage territory with 6 minutes remaining in the first half. Again, they keep the I formation backfield with the power to the left. And they are hit in the backfield as they hand off, and a loss on the play to Jacks that time.
And Ira, there you have it, number 42. Another Shomkel in the house.
Well, he's looking so good, isn't he?
He's a freshman, Ira. We're going to be seeing him for 3 more years. Shomkel.
He'll be on the varsity next year.
Just making a name for himself.
He might be
in this
on the
game.
Varsity next week.
He may be. I'm telling you, this kid can play.
Well, you know, another one they haven't used too much that is very good, too, is Edgar Navarro.
Yeah, Navarro's been playing that fullback spot and defensive end. He's out there right now, the defensive end on the left side.
All right, it's second down and 15 as McDonald throws long down the left sideline, and it's caught at the 20, but there's a flag on the play. I think there was a little shove in there against the defender, Hatfield.
Yeah, I think they're going to call that on Hatfield.
Horton was the receiver.
What a nice catch by Christopher Horton.
No, I think Horton was the one that may have shoved off.
Let's see what they call, offense or defense.
It looked to me like a push-off. By Horton.
Yeah, that's what I thought it looked like as well. But we'll wait and let the officials make the call. It's coming back.
Yeah, you guys were right. I thought it was just a great play by both guys going for the ball.
Well, it was a good play by Horton, but that was aided by his shove.
Don't be surprised they don't come right back to that.
Just over 5 minutes to go. We're in the second quarter here at Memorial Stadium, the little big game. In case you're wondering, there are plenty of seats available, so come on out. Be here for the big game. It starts about 7 o'clock, and the rivalry is big, and anything can happen in the big game. So come on out. You can get in and pick out a good seat here at Memorial Stadium. Ninth year for the stadium after 59 years of the old Memorial Stadium. I know, Kent, you like that.
Well, it's tradition, Ira, you know, the old stadium, and they did a great job on this one, don't get me wrong, but obviously playing in the old one, coaching in, I'm very partial to it, but they did a fabulous job on the remake.
McDonald under center, putting a man in motion. There's the pitch out to the right side, and it's incomplete. Pitch out. That was off the fingertips there of Isaac Rojas on. He came out of the backfield and then made a cut down the right sideline.
Yeah, trying to run a little slip screen to Rojas, who was motioning out to the right and then setting up the block by the wideout and just could not hang on.
So a low-scoring game here. We're in the second quarter. Threes are wild. Third down at the 33-yard line. Or 33 yards to go, we should say. It's at the 35-yard line, actually. I formation. McDonald fakes the pass. He's hit, and he is sacked. Yes. And guess who got him? That's your favorite saying.
That's number 42, Mo Shamko. You're going to hear that all night long. He's just putting pressure on.
A sack there, boy.
Looking for that little stop-and-go pitch, but McDonald just ran out of time as Shamko was right there in his face and made the tackle.
Well, he did a pump fake.
Yep, hitch and go.
And by the time he was ready to let it go, Shamko was right there and brought him down for the sack.
It's a good thing, Ira, because Horton was open downfield.
This is fourth down, so Napa's going to punt this time. At least they line up as if they're going to punt. Getting the snap, and a good punt. Coming down, and McCaffrey takes it about the 30. Gives away some yardage as he goes back to the 20. Now he starts back, gets back to the 30, 35, down the sideline. Stepped out of bounds. He continues on the 40, 45, but he stepped out of bounds prior to midfield. So McCaffrey, nice job, except he gave up some yards right there after taking the punt. So it will be Crusher's taking over now. They lead it 7-0 with 3:47 to go here in the first half of play.
Plenty of time for the Vintage Crushers to come down and put some points on the board before halftime, Ira.
And Mike mentioned to fans coming on out, you'll be treated to some really good band performances here tonight as well. Ready, Shidez hands it off. They try to go up the middle and just hold on for a couple yard gain there. They try to open the hole up, but
Isaac Rojas for Napa, Ira. Yeah. Plays that outside backer defensive end, just having a great game tonight on the stop there. Does a great job at reading the plays and coming down hard, making the tackle.
Second down, about 9 yards to go. Coming up with Neal out wide left. They use a trip set out to the left side. Now a single setback there. And the pitch will go to the left side to Smith. Smith is hit behind the line. Shakes off one, hit by another, and another, and another. He goes down finally, but that... was a great second effort by Dylan Smith, the freshman.
Coming back to that toss sweep that they scored the touchdown all that time, Napa was ready for it. Was there in the backfield to meet Smith for no gain.
2:45 to go. We're in the second quarter. Vintage leading it 7-0. And Vintage has the football at their own 37-yard line. The left side hash marks heading toward that south end zone. Shidez getting the play from Kyle Shue, his coach on the near sideline. Splitting out two wides to the right, tight end left. Two setbacks from the shotgun formation. Shidez hands it off to Navarro. Navarro over left tackle, still going. He gets across the 40 and plows out to the 44-yard line. Well, that was just a sheer power effort by Navarro to pick up some yardage there, but not enough for a first down.
Don't be surprised, Ira. Kyle Shue goes for this. He may want to burn a timeout. Let's see what he's going to do here.
It's fourth down and 4 yards to go from their own 44-yard line.
I think he's going to a power set. Or is he going to punt it away?
Bringing out two of his receivers.
He's going to call a timeout here, Ira.
All right, well, we're going to take time out. We're going to go over to Dewey Green at Wolf Den Stadium in just a moment after this message. Well, I thought we were going to hear from Dewey Green, but apparently not. We wanted to find out how that game, Justin Sien and American Canyon, was coming along in the JVs. We're just about at halftime here at Memorial Stadium, a minute 38 to go. At halftime, we will definitely go back over there and try again to make contact. In the meantime, it's fourth down. What's Vintage going to do? They're at their own 44-yard line. They are going for it as the Crushers use the shotgun formation. And the snap went right to Hatfield. He tried to turn the corner on the sweep, and he dropped the ball. But I think he was already down before he dropped the ball. And one of the Napa players picked up the ball and started to run with it toward that north end zone. But the official said he was down and did not get the first down. So then he turns over the ball anyway.
And Chydez had, you know, he had blockers out front. They just didn't get the job done leading the way. Got to three of the 4 yards, but they needed four.
At the 46-yard line, Vintage turns the ball over with a minute and a half to go here in the second quarter.
Napa has all three timeouts left. Ira with the ball in the 46-yard line. They can go down and march, put some points on the board themselves.
Horton, who made that good catch earlier that was negated, and there's going to be a timeout asked for. But Vintage is taking their second timeout. They have one remaining. Let's go to Jacob Grant now and find out if many statistics are starting to come in play now as far as any one player. Or
well, so for Vintage, in respect to their running game, they have about 78 yards rushing, 60 of those yards coming from, I believe it's Dylan Smith's 62-yard touchdown run early in the first quarter. So that's a majority of their rushing yards, and Napa has 28 rushing yards. So Napa's got to get something going offensively to try to compete.
Well, you know, a lot of that is due to Mo Shemko. He is just, if you're keeping defensive statistics.
He's leading the way on the tackles, no doubt about it. You know, and then you have Isaac Rojas for Napa leading the way for the Napa defense. And Ira, it's just like the two previous contests, the two previous years, it's a defensive battle here. And this one is no different.
Yeah, Mo Shomkul has 1.5 sacks and a tackle for a loss. He split that first sack with number 80, Nick Shudish.
So here are the Napa football players up to the line of scrimmage. They're in Vintage territory. McDonald is back to pass, firing down the left sideline, and it's overshot, intended for Christopher Horton, but just out of his reach. Had Sam Neal, one of the defenders back there for Vintage.
And that's part of the problem with the young receivers. That time Horton was open, had a step on the defender, and Horton just needs to keep running full speed. They don't think that their quarterback can get the ball to him, so they tend to slow up. And that if Horton would just keep running his stride, he would have ran right underneath that ball.
We have a chance here. I'll tell you about some of these coaches on the JV coaching staff. I know you've heard of them. The pitch out goes to the right side to Jack. Jack gets across the 45, and as he is back to about the 43, he is brought down hard. But we mentioned Kyle Shue as the varsity or the JV head coach. Will Nesbitt is working with the coaches. Kane Elliott, Greg Meza, you'll remember him as a player.
Absolutely. Big Greg and Chris Meza, the Meza boys, they're twins.
Jay Gaducci, Josh DeGarmo, helping out. There's McDonald back to pass on a crossing pattern. Ball is deflected, nearly popped up there by Riley Hatfield on a pass intended for Horton.
Yeah, McDonald loves to go to Horton. He's a big target out there. He's probably about 6'2".
So it stopped the clock with the incomplete forward pass, and already it brings up fourth down for Napa.
They're going to go for it, Ira. They should. They're
down at the 43-yard line of Vintage.
38 seconds left to go in this half.
McDonald probably put it in the air. Horton goes out to the right side. Tight end over on the left side, Parker Hurst. And they start to run with it over left tackle. It goes Jack, and he is tripped up over there. And see if he how close he got to a first down. Wyatt Chydez, the sophomore that tripped him up. Both of these Chydezes are sophomores, so they must be twins.
Yep, I would think so. 33 seconds left. I bet Vintage is probably going to be play this safe, just keep the ball on the ground.
Well, the score the last 2 years on JV level, a little big game, has been 14-6, with Vintage winning both of those games. 14-6 last year, 14-6 the year before. And the way this is going, this could come out. Trip set right, tight end left, single setback. Chydez back to pass, getting rushed, firing down the middle, and it's incomplete. He had the rush on, and he went down as soon as he released the ball, but it goes incomplete.
Yeah, he was under pressure.
Yeah, he had to release the ball as quickly as he did, and
this is where you would want to, if you're going to go back to pass, you know, Jake, this is where you run a little draw, run a little screen, something like that.
7-0. Vintage with the lead. Chance for at least one more play. So Chydez has trip set right, and he hands it off to Navarro. Navarro powers his way through the middle, and he's going to be stopped just shy of midfield, and that stops the clock with 2.8 seconds to go as Vintage will take their final timeout. So they have used all three of their timeouts here in the first half, and Napa has yet to call a timeout.
Well, with 2.8 seconds, I would just single up my best receiver, whether it be Sam Neill or McCaffrey, and just, you know, max block, max protect, and just let him run underneath the ball. Let's see what Coach Shue's going to do here if he wants to go for 6 points.
Well, it's going to be third down, but that's kind of academic now as far as a yard or so to go. And we just remind you that coming up at halftime, we are going to hear from Darcy Ward. Keep wanting to say Lewis when I think Darcy Ward. She has been the athletic director at Napa High through tonight. Then she will relinquish those duties after the game. And the new athletic director will be Tom Pettenholm, the football coach. So kind of interesting the way that they split the duties there. During football season, Darcy handles the AD job, and then during the girls' basketball season, Tom handles it. Back to pass now, and there is a pass underneath, and it's complete there to McCaffrey. He's down to the 40, down the sideline to 35, the 30. He's hit, and he goes out of bounds as the clock runs out. They got him at the 25-yard line, spun him out of bounds, and that will end the first half.
Yeah, McCaffrey just ran a little slip screen underneath there and was able to get some yardage. That's something you want to run during the game, not the last play of the half, though.
All right, well, that's the end of the first half. We'll check and see what's happening with Justin Sienna and American Canyon there at Wolf Den Stadium. So in just a moment, we'll be going to Dewey Green. But before we go to Dewey Green, we take time out for this message.
Ladies.
Well, we're not having very much luck getting a hold of Dewey there. Maybe he is waiting to the varsity game, but I indicated that we would like to get updates on the JV game. Well, we'll try again here in a little bit. But let's find out more about Napa High as the Navy and Gold is hosting tonight's action here at Memorial Stadium. We're now at the little big game number 47 halftime with Vintage leading Napa 7-0. And here is our interview with acting athletic director Darcy Ward.
Well, Darcy, now that the football season is coming to an end as far as the regular season, does that mean your athletic duties will be shifted to another individual?
Yes. So Coach Pettenholm will be taking over as athletic director for winter sports at Napa High.
What has it been like as far as this fall season?
It's actually been really good. I've learned so much. I had no idea what athletic directors really did. And now I have way more respect for athletic directors. I have way more respect for all of them. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work. But I really enjoyed it.
Does that mean that you can now devote more time to the girls' basketball?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, tonight, as this game is over, I'm just going to walk away, and it's all basketball from here on out.
Yeah. So what does the schedule look like now that you're in a new league?
Oh, it's great. It's just weird. Our big game is, like, on a Tuesday and then a Saturday. That part's a little strange. We have a packed schedule, though. We start earlier. So it's going to be a really interesting thing. But I think Vintage and us will be really solid in the league. I think we're going to do very well.
What can you tell us about the attitude of the school since the varsity team is still looking for that first win?
Oh, gosh, right? I mean, that's really hard to go into a game and not have a win yet. So I think I'm hoping, you know, that I know this group, they've been persevering this whole time, right? And just, I think the whole thing is about having small victories. I mean, what have you improved upon? Where have you gotten better? What have you enjoyed about your experience? So I'm hoping that that's the focus on just making sure, like, you make a great play tonight, like, celebrate that great play. That's what I would tell my team if I was coaching.
One final question, where you will be coaching in the girls' basketball, who will be working with you on the different levels this year?
So my sister Michelle will be coaching with me as varsity girls, and then JV will be Taylor Willis and Joel Garcia. They're both former Napa High players, and Taylor played for me. She also played at UC Santa Cruz. And then we've got Miranda Holman on the freshman level, who played for me and then also played a little JC ball. So we are thrilled. I think the staff is awesome, and I'm looking forward to the year.
Well, that was the athletic director, Darcy Ward, and thank you for your comments, Darcy. And what a presentation here by the Vintage Cheer Squad. Not that they were bad before, but they were excellent out there, sort of reminiscing of the time that the Napa Spirit Leaders were led by Holly Schmidt, and Holly's been doing that for some 27 years. And I'm very impressed with the Vintage girls. And, of course, we know what Napa brings, and there they are out there now with quite an excellent presentation per usual. And it's nice that we have both of the Spirit Leader groups, the cheerleaders for Vintage and the Spirit Leader for Napa, doing such a fine job.
Well, it's all part of the activities of the big game, Ira. You know, the cheer squads and the bands and the parents and the pep squads, they all get into it just like the football teams do. It's a big week-long event, and I'm sure Darcy Ward and Cam Neal, the athletic directors, were here today at the stadium probably since noon just helping things get set up, and a lot of logistics go into this big game. I know a lot of the teachers are here on both Napa and Vintage to make sure everything is status quo and monitoring everything, and it's just a fun atmosphere.
Well, we'll try again in a little bit to find out about what's happening at Wolf Den Stadium. But first, let's get updated on our statistics here at Memorial Stadium as we go to Jacob Grant.
All right, it will start off with the team that's behind, the Napa Grizzlies. In rushing attempts, the lead is for Brody Jacques, or Jack, depending on who you ask. He's leading the team right now with 23 yards on 7 carries. His longest run of the night was his third for 9 yards. Next up in attempts is, I believe it's Trey Dennis. He wasn't on my roster, so I kind of had to fill him in.
Yeah, number 28, Trey Dennis.
But he has 1 yard on 5 carries. So he's their second leading ball carrier as far as attempts. Aiden McDonald, the quarterback, kept the ball 3 times for a total of 12 yards. And then number 24, Manuel Hernandez, has got 1 yard on 1 carry. And as far as passing goes, Aiden McDonald had a really nice 30-yard completion that was called back on a pass interference. And other than that, he's had no completion so far. He's attempted to throw the ball 4 times. As far as defense goes, for Vintage, I have both of them on the same sheet, so I figured I'd start with Vintage's defense. Mo Shomkul has 1.5 sacks and a tackle for a loss. And then number 80, Nick Shudish, has the other half of that first sack for Shomkul. Heading into Vintage's offense, the leading ball carrier on 3 attempts is Ian Avalos. He has 10 yards on 3 attempts, and yardage-wise, Dylan Smith has the most at 60 yards on 2 carries, 62-yard touchdown, which gave Vintage the 7-0 score. Other than that, he had one run that went for negative 2 yards to bring him to 60. Edgar Navarro is second with 18 yards on 2 carries, and then Riley Hatfield has 3 carries for no yards.
All right, you mentioned Shootish. We recently had a great softball pitcher from Vintage named Shootish, so that might be Nick's sister.
And then in the receiving department, Edgar Navarro has a 16-yard catch, and Reed McCaffrey, to end the half, had a 27-yard catch. So the passing offense has been working. The little they've used it, it's worked.
Okay, well, let's try once again to see if we can get a hold of Dewey Green. He's at Wolf Den Stadium at American Canyon, and the JV game going on there, American Canyon hosting Justin Siena, and we'll try to get Dewey right after this message. Here's a fun thing to do if you're hungry or thirsty in Napa. Come into either of the two McDonald's in Napa and treat yourself. If hungry, to a breakfast or lunch combo meal. If thirsty, for only $2, you can receive your choice of a small frappe, a milkshake, a McCafe. Well, I thought we had him there for a moment. We got a feedback. So I think that's worth another try. So let's go back, Carolyn. Let's try once again. Let's have a commercial and then try once again.
Hey, if we're ready. Guys, this is Dewey Green calling down from Wolf Stadium, the Wolf Den down in American Canyon. 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. It's American Canyon 28, Justin 12. American Canyon with the ball. They're running the ball pretty well on the Braves. There didn't seem to be too much of an answer defense-wise, and this is going to be about a 40-yard touchdown run. So American Canyon goes up 34-12, waiting for the extra point attempt. So there's 2:43 to go in the second quarter. This is Dewey Green from American Canyon, the Wolfden down here at American Canyon. I'll be back and talk to you guys soon.
Okay, well, there we got it. So not too good a report, though, as far as Justin Sienna is concerned with that JV game.
Well, you know, Ira, we've seen that American Canyon JV, and
they're good.
They have a lot of speed down there in American
they
Canyon.
They almost beat Vintage.
Yeah, they did. And speed kills, and let's face it, that's probably one of the quickest, fastest teams in the league is American Canyon.
In fact, let's check what Vintage has done. That I was wrong when I said they almost beat Vintage. It was 50-6. So that wasn't an almost win there. But Vintage then came back and they beat Justin Sienna 48-6. Then they beat Sonoma Valley last week 48-8. Earlier they had beaten Casa Grande 29-0. They beat Bellarmine College Prep 36-0. They beat Lincoln in Stockton, Lincoln High School there, 49-7. They beat Wilsey Wood to start the season, 34-7. Wow.
Yeah, some big numbers right there. Big numbers.
Yeah, so that really bodes well for the future. And when you consider their freshman team went 8-1-1. They did not lose, and that was really something, too.
Well, we've seen one of their stars on the freshman team playing on this JV game tonight with Mo Shampko. I tell you, Vintage, I like that kid, Ira. We're going to see him for the next 3 years.
How can you not?
He's a tough nut, boy, I tell you. He plays hard. He's got a nose for the football, and what I like about him is he understands the game. You can see it on the field. He reads the formations. He can almost predict where the play is going to go. He reads tendencies, and you can see that in his motions on the field. It's fun to see.
Well, what has the Napa JVs done? Last week, they played at Petaluma. They won 49-7. The week before, they were here against Casa Grande, a game that we witnessed. 41-19 Napa went. When they played at Justin Sienna, Napa won the game 51-28. And at American Canyon, that was the close one. That was the one I was thinking about, I guess. It was Napa 22-18. American Canyon coming close there. And against Sonoma Valley, Napa won 41-0. So those are the last five games, all in league and all victors for them. Prior to that, they had beaten Archbishop Reardon 27-13 and Nevada Union up at Grass Valley 18-17. Close game there. So that's how they got their seven victories in a row. Let's check with Jacob once again to find out about the officials that are working tonight's JV contest.
So the crew chief tonight for this junior varsity game is Dave Brown. Then you have Kevin Keller, Pete Knight, John Little, and Steve Franceschini.
Okay, as they're out on the field, Napa has returned to the sideline, and here come the Crushers out of what used to be the Quonsets. As you spent many time in that Quonset area there, Kent.
Yeah, the building has changed, but the insides have changed as well. But all that was in those Quonset huts was just a couple benches, and that was it.
Well, you had the opportunity to establish some records at Napa High. Who broke your receiving records?
It was Mr. Aaron from Napa High. Went on to play at Cal there for a while, and great kid. Just loved watching him play. He did a great job.
Yep. Yeah, we wish them well. And we'll see an Aaron in this next game, the varsity game.
Yep, we'll see his cousin, Jacob Aaron, who's going to be quarterback in the Vintage Crushers. And what I like about Jacob Aaron, you know, as a sophomore, Ira, that guy's a stud golfer. I don't know if you knew that or not. I saw him a couple weeks ago, and he's out at the golf course, and he said, "I didn't know you play golf." He goes, "Oh, I usually don't. I haven't played in 2 months," and he shot a 75. Wow.
Okay. Through the first nine holes?
Yeah, that would be my score.
Well, we're just about ready to get this second half underway, and thanks to Dewey Green for letting us know what is happening there at Wolf Den Stadium. We'll keep you up to date. We'll get other reports from Dewey and have an opportunity to find out just what all is happening. And we will have, I imagine, between games, a performance by the Vintage marching band, Brendan Galvin taking over after Bill Gant had been there some 30 years, and Mike Riondo taking over at Napa High after Harry Canilago had been there for so long, and before that, Bill Crane. So they've had a string of great band directors.
Long-tenured band directors.
Okay, the Crushers say they're ready. They come out onto the field. They lead it 7-0 here at halftime at Memorial Stadium. This is for the league JV championship. It's the little big game, number 47, from the Vine Valley Athletic League, the finale of the season. We're at Memorial Stadium in Napa. Here come the Napa football players onto the field, and we're just about ready for Napa to get set. And Crushers are, they started out on the field, and Kyle Hsu called them over, and they're kind of huddled around there. Meantime, the clock is running down now. It shows about 40 seconds to go until Napa kicks off. So Vintage has the 7-0 lead. We'll be receiving. And the Crushers getting ready now. Look who they're sending back there is Mo Shamkel. It's going back there to receive. And Alex Umadian, or if, not sure how he says his last name, but it's Alec anyway back here. And we're ready for the kickoff now as Arturo Mendez set to approach the football with his left-footed kick, spinning down to the 15-yard line, taken there. As it's brought back by Umanyan. Umanyan gets out to about the 31-yard line where he is stopped, and at that point, the Vintage offense will take over.
Well, let's see, Ira, if we've come up with any adjustments here at halftime. It's been pretty much a stalemate this second half, the first half, both defensive dominating, you know, especially along the defensive line and linebackers, both offenses, except for the one big play that Vintage had. They really haven't had a sustained drive, of course, nor has Napa. So let's see what halftime adjustments have been made.
All right, Vintage sending Sam Neal out wide to the right side, tight end on the left side. And they hand it off in the backfield to Hatfield. Hatfield stopped at the 35, but he keeps going. He dropped the football. Well, I guess maybe he did kind of hold on to it. Napa tried to take it away, and they were unsuccessful. So Riley Hatfield carries for about a 4-yard pickup. Second down and 6 coming up. Just underway here in the third quarter at Memorial Stadium in Napa. 7-0, Vintage in the lead. Vintage has the football, heading from the north to the south end zone in their own territory at the 36-yard line. And the handoff in the backfield again. They go with Riley Hatfield, and he is stopped after about a yard gain that time. Not. I don't know if it even depends on where they put the football, whether they're even going to give him a yard on that.
No, they're trying to run the counter. Isaac Rojas, he didn't make the tackle, but he's the one who blew up that play and then let the support come in and make the stop. He's having a night. I really like that kid. 16 for Napa JV's Isaac Rojas.
Working from the shotgun formation. Scheidel hands off. Again, they go with Hatfield. And Hatfield has a brother that will be playing in the varsity action tonight. He is a starter and a very good player as well.
That time, big number Hugo 56, Hugo Mancilla made the stop there. Vintage absolutely got nowhere. Came out three downs and out. Going to be forced to punt. Just what Napa wanted.
Well, Napa has had stiff defense. And it's going to be the fellow who has been carrying the football here in the second half, Riley Hatfield, that's going to drop back inside of his 30-yard line. Dylan Smith hurrying onto the field there for this special team punting opportunity. And there is Hatfield's punt. Sails down, takes a vintage bounce inside the 30-yard line, down to the 27. It'll be down at that point.
Well, let's see what Napa High can do here, Ira, on offense. If they come out and change their offense up a little bit. Late in the second quarter, they kind of went to the air a little bit, and they had a little bit of success, so let's see what they're going to do.
Well, with that nice roll they got, it puts Napa back at their own 27-yard line. We're early here in the third quarter of our game at Memorial Stadium. Vintage leading Napa 7-0, and Napa with the football now as they're set to come up over the football. Lex Cole, he's been one of the captains this year, has two backs, and he gets to the tailback, who's brought down by Smith. Dylan Smith got in there and shot in there to bring Jax down for a loss on the play.
Yeah, Dylan Smith playing defensive tackle on that alignment. He's just quickness. He's not big guy out there. He's just quick. Shot through the gap and made this tackle for a loss.
That puts the ball at the 25-yard line. A loss of a couple yards on the play. Napa coming up with a tight formation now. Sending one wide out now to the left side. And the handoff to the tailback, and Jax is hit behind the line of scrimmage. There's a late flag that comes in. Looks like a hold against Napa, but we'll wait until the official has given the indication.
That time, Adrian Martinez, a vintage, kind of blowing up that play,
face
stopping
mask.
It.
Face mask against the Chrysers. Wow. So, personal foul, face mask, 15-yard penalty against the Vintage Crushers. That's going to help Napa out, too. They were back there needing about 15 yards or so, and then it was a minor one, so it's only a 5-yard one.
That's a big
difference.
Big difference.
Yeah, so it's just a minor face mask guard, not the more severe one. McDonald back to pass, fakes, pumps, throws, and it's caught by Horton. There's a flag on the play. Horton inside the 40, the 30. He gets by one. He gets hit by McCaffrey. He goes down inside the 25-yard line after McCaffrey made a nice one-on-one tackle. But we do have a flag down.
Ira, that was a little stop and go, hitch and go. Little 5-yard hitch, pump fake, and then go. Vintage defender bit for it. And that time Napa gave great protection for Aiden McDonald there.
It's going to be against Vintage. Oh, that is a break for Napa High. That will keep that as a good play at the 24-yard line of the Crushers.
Well, Ira, we were saying that late in the second quarter, Napa went to the air and had some success with it. Here they are starting to air it out here early in the third quarter.
How many yards do you count on that, Jacob?
I guess that was probably a 42-yard catch.
Catch and run. Horton, wide right. Hand off as they go up the middle. Dennis carrying inside the five. Trip, but winds up in the end zone. Wow. That was a quick opener, trapping up the middle. And it was Dennis who, Trey Dennis.
Yeah, and he made a nice cutback, Ira. He made a really nice cutback to get that nice run there. What do we have here, Ira? Looks like city council candidate Liz Alessio here doing her drive. We got the big game boot sock challenge there, Ira.
Okay. Well, we'll let you tell about it here. Look, there is the extra point attempt. It's good. So there's a timeout now as the extra point is tied up the game. 6.5 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter. And the score now is Napa High 7, Vintage Crushers of Napa 7. Back after this message. have an interview come up here in just a moment, but Napa is kicking off, and it's sailing down to the 15-yard line, taking their return to the 20-25, and breaking through, but there is a flag back there.
Well, they're calling him down. He went down to his knee when he received the ball.
That was Alex Umatyan, but... tell us about this boot that we have here, and then we'll get the interview when we have the opportunity.
Well, Ira, we have the boot. It's the Operation with Love from Home. It's care packages for the deployed troops, and it's look for the boots being passed around or donate outside or inside the stadium. And every $5 helps pay for a pair of socks for the troops overseas and being deployed elsewhere. And we're going to have Liz Alessio tell us about that.
Yeah, this started in 2010.
Here. This is the 8th annual Napa Vintage Boot Drive.
Yep.
Boot Sock Challenge, we should say.
Yep. All right, here we go now. It is a trip set out right side. Quarterback pitches back in there. They start with the sweep, and then they turn the corner, as that is Smith. And Smith is hit. He stays in bounds. Then he steps out of bounds as Dylan Smith was hit hard there at the 17, was able to brace that off, got out to the 20-yard line, and took a heavy hit there.
He did a great job, Ira, just staying on his feet.
He did. I don't
know
how he did.
Like there, a little bumper car there getting
there were about
around.
Three defenders hanging on to him. 6 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter, and we're at a tie ball game here in a battle for the JV championship. Neither team has lost this season in the JVs. And the quarterback getting set as Shidez keeps the ball, spins away from one, hit by another, struggles to get forward to about the 29-yard line, enough for a first down, though, and Vintage trying to march that ball to get back in the lead.
Just a design keep by the quarterback running to the trip side. Just a little stutter step and then go. Good yardage by Shidez.
Out of the 28-yard line, Shidez has the play from Kyle Hsu on the sideline. Back into that offensive huddle, sending Sam Neal out wide to the left side. McCaffrey will slot inside, and there goes Dylan Smith out there. So we have a trip set left side, and Shidek looks to the left. He swings it out there. As carrying the ball is Avalas, and Avalas gets close to a first down. He ran out of territory as he started down the left sideline and was bumped out of bounds after an 8-yard pickup.
And that time he had much better blocking by his wideout and slot receiver there, Ira. So the first series, Vintage was going up inside the tackles. Now they're trying to come outside, running the sweeps and the tosses, having a little better success here.
Nick Schutisch is back into the lineup now for the Vintage Crushers. Tied up at 7-7 with Napa, inside of 5.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Neal out wide left. They use the trip set again. They've got Smith out there as well. Single setback. Shidek is back to pass, fires down the middle, and it's intercepted at the 46-yard line, to midfield, to the 40-yard line, the 35, the 30-yard line, and finally inside the 30-yard line, Alex Caballo gets brought down, but an interception back at the 46, I think, and return to right around the, are they going to put that down, around the 27-yard line.
Yeah, that time Chaydez just tried to throw, you know, they ran the fake toss, then went back to throw.
Trying
he
to
was
post.
Throwing back, he's getting under a lot of pressure and threw it deep, and there was no receiver there. Easy pick for Napa.
So the Vintage defense out there now, and Napa sends Horton out wide right side, and out the left side is the handoff goes to Jax. Jax tries over a right tackle, does not make it. So we've got pickup of maybe 2 yards on the play. Second down and 8 yards to go. Again, we will have that little interview over our next break as soon as there's an opportunity for that.
We got nonstop action going right now, Ira.
We need to do, since we were ready for that interview, things have really picked up on the playing field. The ball now is at the 25-yard line, needing 8 yards for a first down. Napa in Vintage territory. McCaffrey, one of the safeties, is being back there inside at 15. And McDonald hands off to Jack. He tries to angle off of his right tackle. And one of the Napa players lost his helmet out there as Frankie Morales goes back to pick up his helmet.
Yeah, big number Adrian Martinez, number 55, that defensive tackle doing a good job. Make the stop for no gain for Vintage Crushers.
From the 25-yard line, it's going to be third down and 8 yards to go for Napa High.
You know Napa's got two plays to get the first down here, Ira. They're not going to punt it.
Absolutely. They probably won't try a field goal either. Aiden McDonald, the quarterback, has right beside him there Rojas. Rojas is there for blocking. McDonald throws towards the end zone. Touchdown, Napa! That's what a pass.
Yeah, great and, pass. Great pass by Aiden McDonald. I really like that. Great catch.
The receiver, as soon as he caught the ball, went down on his back in the end zone and has not gotten up. And they
well defended. That's Horton
out
there.
That was Horton again. Wow.
Horton's about 6'2", Ira. He's a big target, big frame. I really like the way he looks and plays. He probably had the wind knocked out of him a little bit, but what a great pass, great catch, well executed. And he was well covered. He was right on him.
Right. So that's the first lead. Contreras is going to try the point after first lead for Napa High, trying to make it a 7-point advantage as the ball is snapped, placed, kicked, and it's on the way and good. So Fernando Contreras has put Napa ahead 14-7. Now that interview.
Well, Ira, we have a special guest. Liz Alessio is here doing her Operation with Love from Home care packages on the Sock It to Him Boot Sock Challenge. So, Liz, tell us about this sock challenge.
Well, you know, since Operation has started back in 2007, we know that our troops need boot socks more than anything. And it's an item that they relish, that they need. And we send care packages year-round, so it doesn't matter what season. And it's something that's kind of expensive and hard for us to get. So we posted this boot sock challenge to Napa and Vintage back in 2010. And Napa Vintage have really been the main source of our boot socks for our care packages that go overseas every year.
And I know how many care packages do you send out just about every year?
Well, we send about 2,200 care packages throughout the year. We respond quickly. We get requests weekly, honestly. We just got a request for 50 care packages that we're putting together tomorrow, three the week before. But we're getting ready for our holiday care package shipment, which will be about 1,200 care packages on December 8th.
All right. Well, thank you very much,
Liz. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for bringing this trophy up here. It looks nice. And good luck to you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Well, they had a squib-tight kick again, and it went down and was covered by Vintage at the 31-yard line. So at that point, the Crusher offense will come on the field. What a beautiful trophy that is, too.
Isn't that nice? A nice bronze boot. I wish we had TV.
Who won this year?
Well, we'll find out at the halftime of varsity game. We'll find out who wins this year. Last year it was Vintage High. No, last year was Napa High.
Let us know.
I will.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right, here are the Crushers. Trip set right side as Shidez from the shotgun takes the ball and is going to run with it. He is hit at the line of scrimmage and brought down after about a yard gain. Boy, the defense really converged on Shidez there as he elected to hold the ball.
Manuel Infante, Ira, he's the one that came in and made that play. They're playing Napa, that is playing inspired defense right now, the Napa JVs.
Napa's won 7 games in a row. Vintage has won 9 games in a row. Vintage trying to finish the season undefeated. Whoever wins this game is the JV champion of this first ever Vine Valley Athletic League. Shidez pitches it back. There is the sweep to the left side as turning the corner now and going to the 40, 45, 50-yard line is Hatfield. Flag on the play as he goes out of bounds in Napa territory.
We got a flag, Ira. I don't know if it's a face mask or a hold. I'm not too sure. I thought I saw an incidental face mask, but I'm not quite sure.
It looks like a hold.
Okay.
But we'll have to wait till the official has given the signal. No, it looks maybe a face mask.
Yeah, I think it might be one of those 5 yards. Let's see if they call it.
An incidental face mask is 5 yards.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's an incidental face mask.
Great blocking on the outside. The wide receiver, I couldn't see if that was Neal or McCaffrey on that block, but just stayed with that DB to free up the runner on that.
Dylan Smith has come back into the lineup for the Vintage Crushers now as they have the ball in Napa territory, heading toward that south end zone. The ball is at the 44-yard line over at the left side hash marks. 14-7, Napa leads Vintage. 2:18 to go in the third quarter. Trip set right. Single setback. And the pitch goes to the setback. He swings out. Smith cuts in the 45, the 40. Dylan Smith, the 35, the 30. He's hit by two and driven out of bounds. Wow. Nice run until Cesar Leon banged him out of bounds.
I really like the way Dylan Smith stays in bounds, though, Ira. He gets to the corner, gets to the sideline, and just makes a hard cut and cuts it up the field and stays in bounds for another 10, 12 yards.
Even though he's a freshman, this is probably his last game on the JVs. He'll be on the varsity next year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he is tremendous. Gets the start as a freshman this year. And
Napa taking a timeout here, Ira.
Well, let's see what Dylan has done as far as his running in this ball game thus far.
So in the first half, he had that 62-yard touchdown run, and then he had one that he was tackled behind the line for a loss of two. And then so far in this second half, he's got 24 rushing yards. So total today, he's 84 yards over four carries.
We're in the third quarter now with 2:09 to go, and it's Napa leading Vintage 14-7 in the little big game. In the series, Napa has won 30 times. Vintage has won 16 times, although Vintage has won the last 2 years by identical scores, 14-6. But that won't happen this year because Napa already has 14. They've had six just the last 2 years. Vintage trying to get into the end zone to see if they can tie up the game or maybe go for two and take the lead. Plenty of time to go. We're just in the third quarter here. Two wideouts go out to the left side, two setbacks, and a tight end on the right side. And they give as they go over the right side with Edgar Navarro getting stopped at the 21-yard line.
Manuel Infante again. He's looks like he's about 4'8" out there. He's a little spark plug coming in, making that tackle from his outside linebacker spot on big Navarro.
Yeah. Chaidez has McCaffrey, but he's going to be kind of a wing on the right side. Sam Neal out to the left side. Hatfield in the slot, and there's some motion going in before the ball is snapped.
Yep, left tackle jumping. Looked like it was going to be an option to the left side, outside option.
It was a second down and about six to go. That's going to cost the Crushers 5 yards. They were getting the ball down at the 21-yard line. That'll put it back to the 26-yard line. Minute and a half remaining here in the third quarter. Napa High 14, Vintage Crushers 7. Here we go again, setting up the offense. Navarro is the setback to the right. And the quarterback hands off to McCaffrey. McCaffrey at 25. Ooh, they would drag him down. How did that guy get in there as Trey Dennis was able to get in there and grab the jersey and pull him down?
And Ira, that was a touchdown saving tackle right there. That was an underneath counter. It was a play they were going to try to run before.
I don't know how he pulled him down with just grabbing his shirt like he did the jersey.
Yeah, McCaffrey was gone off to the races, and Trey Daniels was able to reach out, bring him down, like you said, and he was there for six. I'm telling you, that was a touchdown saving tackle right there.
Yeah, Trey Dennis is 5'8", so he's not a very big guy. He's a sophomore. Boy, I tell you, this Napa crew bids well for the future.
I wonder if you see the same play coming back this side to the right this time.
Well, the ball is at the 24-yard line.
Maybe a timeout here on Vintage. They're going to discuss it.
Yeah, third down and 9 yards to go. Bumper LaRue on the sideline calling his players back over now as each team has used a timeout here in the second half. One of the Napa players getting a little work on his shoe over there, his football shoe. Apparently, he's not a big guy, Cesar Leon. And he's still standing out there. I'm not sure. Everybody else is huddled there around the coach, but Leon is just coming over there towards where the officials are. Now he jogs back over toward the sideline. He just had his shoestring tied.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go now with the Crushers coming out of their huddle. 41 seconds to go in the third quarter. Vintage is trailing 14-7. This is the little big game, the JV championship of the Vine Valley Athletic League. Crushers near the left side hash mark have a three in the backfield, and the quarterback, or the snap went directly there to Hatfield. He tries to turn the corner on a sweep right, and he's brought down near the 20. That's going to bring up fourth down. and about 7 yards to go.
Yeah, and they may not get this playoff before the end of the third quarter here.
I think they got time to get up to the line if they hustle, but they're not going to be hustling here. They're sending some, there's McCaffrey coming back in. Also, Neal is back in. Now, you're right, Kent, they're not going to get up there in time to snap the ball. So that's the end of three quarters here. Let's find out what the halftime score is over at Wolf Den Stadium. So we'll check with Dewey Green to find out what's happening at halftime after this timeout. Well, I guess we missed out on Dewey again.
Dewey must be having fun down there.
Well, it should be halftime there. So I thought that could maybe get a quickie in there with.
Hey, if we're ready to go, this is Dewey Green calling in from the Wolf Den down here in American Canyon. 8:28 to go in the third quarter. American Canyon JV team is 43. The Justin Braves, 12. I was looking down at the field. American Canyon is fielding 48 kids on their team. Justin barely has 20, 24 maybe.
There's so, a pass. Okay, Dewey,
sorry. American Canyon's pretty athletic. Pass there on the sideline. About a 30-yard pass. The ball's incomplete. But right now at the Wolf Den, it is American Canyon JV's 43, the Justin Braves 12. This is Dewey Green. Back to the station. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Well, Riley Hatfield just scored for the Vintage Crushers on a pass from Shidez, and now the extra point attempt is coming up from Tate Solis. Solis's extra point attempt is up, and we're tied. It is good, and we've got 9:49 to go. We're just underway in the fourth quarter here at Memorial Stadium, and Vintage has just tied up the game with Napa at 14.
And that was a nice little play, Ira. They had Shidez rolling out to the right, and then Hatfield sneaking out from the right tight end, tight slot, coming across the formation back to the left side all alone. Chidez took his time, was able to pick him out, put a nice ball into his hands, and he's running to the touchdown, no one around him. Nice designed play call. Really liked that.
Well, Kyle Shue had to be pleased with the results of that, and now let's see what the Crusaders do on the ensuing kickoff as Solis is 2-for-2 in the extra point category. Napa. See what they can do as they have Hernandez back deep. And
Ira, we knew this game was going to be a tight one, and it's living up to all its billing. 14-14, start of the fourth quarter here.
The two H's, Horton and Hernandez, are back deep. There's a end-over-end kick, and it stays in bounds, and it's taken by Hernandez as he goes to his right outside the 20. Boom! Oh, did he take a hit there from Nate Matern?
Had nowhere to go.
Wow.
Well, let's see if the momentum has switched over to Vintage here, if the defense can keep it on their side. Look for Napa to go back to the air, I'm telling you. They're going to air it out.
Both teams have had strong defenses here tonight. Well, we've got the varsity game coming up at about 7 o'clock. Come on out. There are plenty of seats still available here at Memorial Stadium, and you can never tell what happens in the big game. Toss the records out the window because these guys play for bragging rights. I formation and Napa on the handoff. It's carried by Dennis. He's out to the 30 and the 35. Nice run by Trey Dennis.
Yeah, a really nice run. He broke one tackle and then scampered another 5 yards. Good game for 11, 12 yards in the first down. Move the chains.
The ball is at the 35 for a first down for Napa. We're all tied at 14. We just started the fourth quarter. Napa has wideouts either side with two setbacks now. And McDonald hands off to the second guy coming through, and he breaks through the 40. He's to midfield, down to the 45. He fumbles the ball as Dennis had a good run, but it's recovered by Napa outside the 40-yard line. As
Billy Chidez coming from behind stripped him. And then the alert Napa player was able to fall on
that
the ball.
Was Frankie Morales was there to cover the ball. Boy, that was such a fine run there, too. And then Morales saved the day by covering it up. A big break for Napa High as they get the ball into vintage territory at the 42-yard line.
Two big plays right up the middle.
Napa heading toward that south end zone. Sends Rios out to the left side, and they'll go over the left tackle. There's a spin by Jack. He gets inside the 40 on a twist and turn and down at the 39.
Yeah, tackle by Shomkel and Chaidez.
Boy, Shomkel is all over down there on the defensive side. Clock continues to move. 8.5 minutes to go. We're in the fourth quarter of this little big game for the championship. The JV championship here. You'd hate to see the game end in a tie, though. But I don't think that they would continue on because the varsity game is coming up after this. I don't think that they have a playoff option for the JVs.
Well, Ira, offensive-wise, it's just been a game of big plays for both teams. Otherwise, it's been a defensive struggle.
Back to passes. McDonald running out of the pocket. He's going to be sacked. Getting in there quickly to bring him down was Nick Schutisch. Schutisch, a sophomore, was quick to follow Aiden McDonald there.
Yeah, nice play by Schutisch. Big loss.
Ball back to the 47-yard line. 7.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. We're tied at 14. So Napa being met by a very strong Vintage defense now. Vintage wanting to get possession of the football to see if they can march down the field and take the lead. Out wide left is Contreras. To the right is Horton. The quarterback is he fired, and it's incomplete. The tight end had a shot at it. Thomas Hatton.
Just running a little pop pass. Hatton, just all he has to do is keep running underneath that ball. Ball was delivered where it had to be. Hatton stopped his route, then didn't make the catch.
Boy, that was there, but it would have been a nice catch. So that brings up fourth down. And even though they are in Crusher territory, they're going to punt the ball away as Arturo Mendez. Oh, he bobbled the ball. He picks it up, and he can't get the kick away. And
wow.
And it goes out of bounds.
Big break for Vintage.
Huge break here. Goes out of bounds in Napa territory.
The snap was good, Ira. He just bobbled the snap, and then he recovered it, and then tried to punt it, and just bobbled the punt as well.
Yeah.
And he didn't try to normal punt it. He didn't try to do your straight-up American punt. He tried that little rugby punt with the run around the edge.
That's how he's been punting all night. Just he drops the ball and then punts it.
Well, that puts the Crushers in good shape now at the 46-yard line of Napa. 7 minutes to go here in this fourth quarter. Double wides to the left. Two setbacks in the backfield. And the pitch out comes to the left side. And cutting in the 45, the 40. And it is Smith that goes inside the 30-yard line. And Dylan Smith takes it all the way down to the 29-yard line of Napa.
He runs hard, Ira. Dylan Smith, he's a tough little runner. Not that big, but he's got a nose for the football. He likes to make these cutbacks and cuts a corner. Just likes to stay in bounds. You don't want to see him going out of bounds. He won't. He likes to stay in bounds and drive forward.
He's going out of the lineup now. He comes
take
over
a little breather. Well-deserved rest there.
Yeah.
Official timeout here. Injury player in Napa.
Well, I'm sure the grandparents are very excited about the game that Dylan is playing tonight. His last game, they didn't play him that much in the contest, and he's getting more playing time tonight and is really responding as well. We're inside of 7 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. We're all tied up, 14-14. Vintage is trying for a perfect season of 10-0 and 6-0 in the league. Napa trying to make it 6-0 in the league. They would finish with an 8-2 record if they can win this. Napa in its 122nd year, the first 121, they were known as the Indians. Not this year.
Well, for some people.
Now, Vintage is in its 47th year, and they've been known as the Crushers all the time, which is considered I think it wasn't Cal High Sports, maybe, that said that was the best nickname in the state.
Always one of the top mascot names, as exactly, the Vintage Crushers of Napa Valley, and it fits, really does.
Well, the injured Napa player is still on his back down there. We hope that he's all right. Coming up in about a half hour or so will be the varsity action. KVON Victory Bell will go to the winning team. And what else do the winners get?
Well, Ira, the Napa Register is going to be picking out the, some most valuable players. I know the Marines All-American game. I see the Marines down there with their booth. Uh-huh. They'll be selecting a most valuable player as well. And the Kiwanis Club of Napa gives out the perpetual big game trophy along with $1,000 to the winning team and $500 to the team that does not win. And it's Kiwanis' way of supporting the schools and the programs, and been doing that for many, many years.
Well, the winning team in the varsity game will take home the Great American Rivalry Series Championship Trophy. And by the way, it is presented by the Marines. The series will select the most valuable player, as Kent mentioned. An alumnus from each school will be inducted into the 15th class of the Great American Rivalry Series Hall of Fame. So we'll have that. And a college scholarship will be awarded to the senior on each team with the highest grade point average.
There you go.
Now that all relates to the upcoming varsity action, big game number 47. And as Kent knows, he's played in it, he's coached in it. Anything can happen. We've had underdogs come from behind to win, and just
absolutely, right. Aaron. You're right. You've said it all night long. You know, you throw out the records, and you truly do. You really throw out the records, and especially for Vintage, who has a share of the pennant captured already. You know, it'd be easy to come in here and just kind of overlook this team and not even worry about it, start thinking about playoffs. And Napa wants nothing more than to come in and knock the Vintage Crushers out. That would just be right up and get their first win. So this is going to be a huge game. Still some seats available. Come on out. It's going to be a fun game. It'll be fun to watch.
Starting to be a nice turnout now, though. People keep coming in, and that's a good sign. And they're seeing a really good game here as far as the JV game.
I got a score update from Game 3 of the World Series down in L.A. The Dodgers are leading the Red Sox 1-0, middle of the fourth.
Long way to go there. Well, we got quite a ways to go here, just inside of 7 minutes remaining. They're still administering to the injured player. Gives us a chance to acknowledge the great work that Napa Valley Physical Therapy does by volunteering their services. Bruce McCall and his folks there at Napa Valley Physical Therapy don't stop with just helping out the football program. They do it for all sports at both Napa and Vintage.
Absolutely, Ira. And all the coach has to do, if they have an injured player, whether it be volleyball, swimming, water polo, football, baseball, any sport at those two schools, all the head coach has to do is call up Bruce or Rob and say, hey, we have a player, and they want to see that player. They will treat that player free of charge. That is their way of giving back to the community, Napa Valley Physical Therapy. They've done it for over 40 years, Ira.
Well, Isaac Rojas was the injured player, and he literally hobbles off the field, just kind of hopping along as he goes to the Napa sideline. So Napa defense coming back up to the
That's a big hole losing Rojas, Ira.
Yes, absolutely. So Vintage at the 29-yard line has it now. On first down, and tried to go to the left, and it's out to about the 25-yard line as a fake, and in Avalos gets it to get stopped at, I think, the 25. They haven't put the ball down yet.
Yeah, good second effort by Avalos because he was stopped at the line and just kept moving, and was able to get 3 yards.
Second down and 7 yards to go. Neal to the right. And inside of him will be Reed McCaffrey. Chaidez pitches it over to the right side to Smith. Smith, the 25, spins at the 20 and dives forward to about the 18-yard line. Dylan Smith on the carry once again.
Just a quick toss of Smith to the right.
Boy, he picked up the necessary first down yardage.
He got 8 yards and picked up the first.
So the Crushers are moving at the 18-yard line of Napa. So is the clock. 5:55 and counting down. 14-14 tie here in the fourth quarter at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. As the Crushers send Sam Neal to the left. They have wing on the left or a slot, and that is Smith. He'll go in motion. And on the counter, they hand the ball to McCaffrey. McCaffrey gets inside the 15, down to the 13, then he's driven back a couple yards. But a nice move by Reed McCaffrey, picking up some tough yards in there. Anytime you get in that red zone, it's going to be tough picking up yards, and he did down to the 13-yard line.
And the counter is always a nice little play to come back to, Irie. Get the flow going to the right, to the right, to the right. Come back, get the start of the play, go to the right, and come back underneath to that counter to the left. Nice play.
Avalos comes to the sideline. Crushers have Navarro to the right of the quarterback, the only setback there. Navarro carries up the middle. He gets inside the 10, still moving the legs to the 8. And he gets driven back in as he was trying to get to the 7-yard line. He may have made it, but that was power running there by Navarro.
Yeah, and I think they moved the chains, so he's got first and goal here, Ira, from about the 8.
They put it down, yep, right inside the 8-yard line. First down, goal to go. Vintage trying to get back in the lead. They have a coming up with a tight formation. They haven't run this tight formation very often. And the direct snap comes out to Hatfield, turns the corner, and he's brought down about the line of scrimmage. He tried to sweep right and brought down then, and he is limping too. Oh, he's going to have to come out of there, Riley Hatfield. That snap went directly to him, and now Scheidek, who was on the sideline for that play.
Yeah, well defense by Napa.
Second down. The ball is still at the right outside the 7-yard line. Goal to go. 4 minutes to go is all we have left now here in the fourth quarter in a tie ball game, 14-14. The winner will be the champion of the Vine Valley Athletic League JVs. Both teams undefeated as they come into tonight's action. Double wides to the left. Tight end on the right. Scheidez starts the count and a whistle. I think Kyle Shue wants to take a timeout.
Well, Ira, you got 3 minutes and 39 seconds left. You're down there on about the 7-8-yard line. You want to make every play count.
Okay, we'll be back here with the final 3.5 minutes in a moment after we take timeout for this message. You're listening to KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith here at Memorial Stadium as we get into the final 3.5 minutes in a tie ball game. Another big game coming up, big game 47. Still seats available if you want to come on out. It won't get underway for another half hour or so, depending on the length of this game.
Vintage knocking on the door here, Ira, trying to get some points here.
Scheidez has Smith right behind him now, and he gives the ball to Smith. He starts to the outside, sweeps. He's inside the 5. He tries to go to the end zone, out of bounds inside the 1-yard line. Oh, was that ever close to getting into the end zone by the freshman?
Boy, he's got to be right there on the 1. Going to be 3rd and goal from the 1-hour. Look for him to either quarterback sneak or give it to Big Navarro.
Yeah, Navarro, he is so strong. You know, I would like to see him even given to Shemko to get him in there on the offensive play. He is strong. He's been doing the job great on defense. For the Crusaders. Here they come, quickly up to the line.
I look for Navarro or Smith.
Okay. And Navarro carries. He tries to plow his way in. He tries to make a turn. And the defense is there for Napa. It stiffens up. He does not get in.
Wow. 4th and goal here, Ira, from the half-yard line.
This
is the game for Vintage right here.
Boy, it's 4th down and inches to go. If we had Jacob Grant on the sideline, he would tell us how close to the goal line that is.
It's right on the half-yard line,
inside,
Ira.
Inside the first yard line.
Inches away from the goal line. And Scheidez.
Both varsity teams marching in, Ira.
Yep, there comes Napa with their navy jerseys, white trousers, and gold football helmets. And there's a timeout asked for.
Napa's going to take that timeout.
Taking a timeout on defense. This is a huge play coming up.
This is it. I mean, it's fourth and goal from the half-yard line, 14-14, 2 minutes and 50 seconds. Vintage has to put this in the end zone.
Well, credit Napa on that last play of getting stiff and not letting Edgar Navarro, a very powerful runner, get in from the 2-yard line.
Yep. I look for Navarro to be a lead back. Give it to Smith, your tailback. Power up with two backs on the isolation play and let Smith pick his hole and go.
The Napa High marching band entering Memorial Stadium in the south end zone. Very flashy. Okay, here they come. Pressure's offense coming out there. Here come the Napa defenders trying to be stiff here and stop them one more play. And they're working it from the pistol formation. And the quarterback keeps the ball. He tries to swing in. He makes a turn.
That's a stop.
No, did not get in.
Big stop for Napa High.
Oh, my goodness. Line. That was literally a couple inches away from the goal line as the quarterback, Chavez, just...
He tried to twist and turn himself in, and Napa was there to stop him.
Trying to get an opening there to get in that less than a yard that he needed.
So big goal line stand for Napa High. Now, Vintage just needs to do the same thing, Ira.
You have to watch out if you're Napa High about turnovers.
Right.
A turnover here would be very costly.
This is where you just got to stop them on this goal line.
Boy, wouldn't it be something if they shared the first ever Vine Valley Athletic League championship. They have not had a tie in the previous 46 years. The ball is tried to carry from the right side, and the Crushers may have got in there for a safety. They are indicating such, but the official has not. He said no.
They're getting him in his forward progress.
Junko thought that he had a safety there, but Napa did not get called for being tackled in the end zone.
So Napa just needs to get the ball out, Ira.
At the 1-yard line. Clock continues to move. Coming up on 2 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, 14-14 tie here as Napa has the ball at their own 1-yard line. Vintage trying to stiffen up to get the ball back in good field position inside of 2 minutes to go now.
Someone's taking a timeout here.
Each team had one timeout remaining.
Napa did. They were running out of time. They couldn't get the play in on time. They had a timeout.
Well, a penalty would have been a matter of inches on that if they would have taken half the distance to the goal. Instead of, maybe 18 inches, it would be 9 inches away from the goal. A minute 47. That's how much time to go here in the fourth quarter. That's how much time remains in the season for these two JV teams. In the previous 46 years, Napa has won 30 times. Vintage has won 16 times. There has not been a tie. In the varsity action, there have been two ties. And we can tell you more about that. During Troy Mott's run, Napa won 11 straight and owns the series lead 28-16 with two ties. Napa huddled up in the end zone. Here they come up to the line now. The ball at the Napa 1-yard line. And they are going into a shotgun formation. McDonald back to pass. He fires. And it's caught at about the 5-yard line. Then right away a tackle is made as Horton made the grab. And he went down on the ground as he made the catch.
Yeah, that ball was actually tipped at the line of scrimmage.
Well, he had there for coverage was Ernesto Estrada.
Vintage taking their last timeout.
So neither team has a timeout remaining. We have a minute 34 to go. Of course, the ball is now at the 5-yard line. It's third down. Napa still has a chance before punting the ball. And Napa had problems on their last attempt at the punting situation. With that reception, though, the ball is out to the 5-yard line, giving them a little bit of breathing room. Last time, though, they went into a shotgun formation that put the quarterback back in the end zone, so he had to release the ball in a hurry. And here comes the Vintage High School marching band to the cadence of their drummers. And here are the Chrysers on the defense on this third down. Napa splits ends either way. Just a single setback there. McDonald hands off, and it is a short gain over there for Trey Dennis as he tried to run over his left tackle, and he got outside the five by about 3 yards, but short of the first down. It's fourth down and about 3 yards to go for another first down.
We got
an injured player there.
Looks like...
The injured Crusher is Adrian Martinez.
So that's going to stop the clock. Napa's going to be forced to punt here, Ira.
Martinez is a sophomore. There are 21 freshmen on the Vintage JV team for tonight. Prior to tonight, there had been two, and they, of course, added 19 then from their freshman program that went undefeated. The freshmen were undefeated. The JVs were undefeated. The varsity has won seven in a row. And so what a great job that the Leach program has put together. Dylan Leach, a graduate of Vintage High School.
Dylan in his third year, Irish, 3 short years he's turned that program around. Yeah. Turned it around on a dime.
At each level.
Absolutely.
Freshman, JV, and varsity.
Yep.
And it was disappointing this year when I heard that Napa was not going to have a freshman team. The enrollment Napa has, that was a disappointment. We look forward each year to broadcasting the itty-bitty game, we call it, with Napa and Vintage freshmen playing. We have the varsity game, the big game, and we have the JV game, which we call the little big game, and then the freshman game, which we call the itty-bitty game. But, well, we hope that he's going to be okay there. They're still using precaution there as Adrian Martinez out on his back. And for years, Bruce McCall was helped by a guy named Glenn Hughes. And you know where Hughes has been the last few days?
Well, I believe he's been over in Africa, hasn't he?
Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yep.
Out there. 19,000 feet high. He and Gary Rose went over there. And it took them over a week to get up to the top.
Yep.
Snow, ice. With try to get some comments from Glenn when he comes back.
I'm anxious to hear how it went. My niece made that climb last year.
She did.
She did, yep. She made that climb last year, and I know she trained hard for that. And, of course, Glenn is in great shape. Did Gary go on the ascent as well?
That was Gary's bucket list. He was the one that helped set it up. He wanted to do that on the bucket list.
I can't wait to talk to Gary because he's got two bad knees. So
yeah,
that'd be interesting to see how he did that.
I saw him out at Silverado for the Safeway Open, and he was hobbling around there. I said, how are you going to climb 19,000 feet? He said, that's been on his bucket list. He'll do it.
Well, he went with the right person in Glenn, that's for sure.
All right, here we go now. Let's find out what happens as Napa's going to attempt to punt the ball out of the end zone. We have a minute 19 to go here in the fourth quarter, a tie game. Vinnies will come out of this with excellent field position, and they will have time if they go passing. Neither team has a timeout remaining as they get set. Mendez in his own end zone will attempt to get as good a punt away as he has had all night. Arturo Mendez is ready, and they're trying to draw Vintage offside. There's the snap. There's his kick, and it's a good one. Coming down and bounding at the 40-yard line, rolling back out to the 42, and it'll be downed at that point by Cesar Leon. So at the 42-yard line, Crushers have less than a minute to go.
Well, Ira, you know, I wonder if either team has really practiced their two-minute drill with all the success they've had this year.
Neither team with a timeout remaining.
Vintage
has the ball at the 42-yard line of Napa.
If you're going to pass in the middle, you need to get the line of scrimmage down the ball very quickly to stop the clock or get some sideline passes and get out of bounds to stop the clock.
Inside, the clock is starting again as the Crushers come up to the line. Use double wides to the left side. Scheibeck from a shotgun formation. Pitches it out to the left side as they get it to Smith. And Dylan is brought down after a short gain. Vinnies cannot call a timeout. 30 seconds to go. could be the first ever in the JV ranks of Napa Vintage to be a tie game. 23 seconds to go. Vintage is not rushing. They're not hurrying up to the line. I can't
think of it. Trying to get them up there. They don't realize that they need to get last play here.
Smith slots right side. A trip set over on the right side. Quarterback is back to pass. He fires, and it is caught by the crusher, Sam Neal, and he does not go out of bounds. Nope. He takes it downfield instead of stepping out of bounds,
they
and he is tackled.
Snap the ball down it. That's what they need to do right now.
They need to down the ball right away, and that'll give them one more play probably. Well, I don't know if he tried to down it or what, but the clock shows no time remaining. Not the usual two-minute drill.
Ball was down. He's saying they downed it or not. I can't tell if they're calling this game or not.
They haven't picked up the ball. Oh, there the official goes in, picks up the ball. So that was the final play. They said he did not down the ball, and the clock expired. And that is the little big game, and it's co-champions. Both Napa and Vintage are co-champions of the first ever Vine Valley Athletic League JV competition. Wow.
Well, we knew it was going to be a tight ball game. We knew it was going to be a tough battle defensively, and it lived up to its billing, Ira. And credit Napa High for stopping Vintage down there at the goal line with a little over 2 minutes left. Vintage had first and goal at the 8-yard line.
What is great, they're not just shaking hands. They're giving hugs out there.
Well, they all know each other. They've grown up with each other. And so these guys know each other. The coaches know each other. They've probably played against each other and with each other over the years. It's fun to see. That's what I say. It's a fun game.
Wow. Well, Jacob, how are you doing?
I feel like if Vintage had gotten up to the line and down the ball on that first play, instead of running a little pitch and then downing the ball, I feel like they could have had a chance at least at like a 50-50, if not worse, chance field goal to try to take this one versus letting it run to a tie.
Well, anyway, that ends the season for these two JV teams. Vintage finishes 9-0-1, 5-0-1 in the league. Co-champions with Napa High, which also was 5-0-1 in the league. And Napa was 7-2-1 overall. So that is the way it finishes up here at Memorial Stadium in Game 1. We got another one coming up. Anything can happen. Still seats available. So come on out, put a jacket on, and join us here at Memorial Stadium. It'll probably be about a half an hour before we get the next game underway. So that's our story from Memorial Stadium. In just a moment, we'll go over to Wolfdam Stadium and find out from Dewey Green what's happening in the American Canyon Justin Siena game. We've had a dandy here, and we'll go to Dewey right after this timeout.
Excuse me, in the fourth quarter, it is American Canyon Wolves 49, Justin Braves 20. The Wolves have been led by quarterback Phineas Bale and his favorite wide receiver, Amari Johnson, playing well for Justin tonight. Quarterback Hudson Beers, along with wide receivers Seth Morrison and Noah Young. Again, the Braves are hurt by their numbers over there. American Canyon has 48 kids on the sideline, and the Braves have maybe 20. So a lot of hands on the hips, and that's what's going on down here at the Wolfden. We'll be starting the varsity game shortly. So right now, with 49 seconds to go in this contest, it's American Canyon, 49, Justin, 20. This is Dewey Green from the West End. I'll talk to you soon. Back to the stadium.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dewey, for that report. Well, we've got a couple guys that have done so much for this community. I mean, that they have really helped out with a lot of different projects. One of the guys just recently went into the Vintage Athletic Hall of Fame. As he played for the Crusaders, went down to Arizona State, played down there. And fortunately for us, he is back in the Napa Valley. So, Kent, go with it.
Well, I tell you, Ira, we're fortunate enough. You know, this big game, it brings out everybody in this game. And we have two of the three founders of Latitude 38. And Ira, see, what is Latitude 38 here in the Napa Valley? Latitude 38, the founder of Bottle Rock. That's right. I know you didn't have the microphone. You couldn't talk, you know. And Justin Dragoo and David Graham. And Justin, real quick, you played football for Vintage High School many, many, many years ago. And what what's it like for you coming back to a big game feeling as a fan?
It brings back a ton of memories. I mean, there's much about the stadium that still looks the same. I know it's totally refurbished from back when we were there.
Yep.
In 1990.
Let me ask you, I mean, they did a great job, but do you still miss the old stadium?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's like I'm seeing how nice it is now, and I'm thinking, like, this is great. What a great surface. And it's fun to watch all the players walk in front of the fans just like the old times. So that was, you know, 25, 30 years ago, and it's still a lot of the same traditions are still being upheld today.
Well, you know, I shouldn't have asked that question, Ira. You know, he played in Sun Devil Stadium for many years, too. You know, that's a beautiful stadium venue. Jacob Grant just went down there, Justin, to visit. Plans on going there next year. ASU and their communications department, and he's looking forward to it.
A lot of fun down there. You'll have a great time.
All right, David Graham, tell us about Latitude 38. First of all, I'm going to ask you a real silly question. How'd the name arrive at Latitude 38?
Oh, we got to go back and talk more about Justin, because that was all Justin. He came up with the name. It's actually, why am I talking about it? Justin, tell him how you came up with the name.
It's really simple, and we were trying to think of something really simple. So Napa is based at 38 North Latitude, and we wanted it to, the core of the company, to be focused on everything that Napa Valley is. So it was actually a very intuitive, pretty easy name to come up with, and it stuck, and there we go.
I figured it had something to do with that. Now, David, I know. Let's talk a little Bottle Rock. You and I have talked a little bit before. You guys have done such a tremendous job at taking over Bottle Rock. And the production gets bigger and bigger and better every year. And the community is so much behind Bottle Rock. It's just amazing. So tell us what's on the venue for next year, or what can you share for next year?
Well, what we can share is that very much like the Hall of Fame speech that Justin gave just last month, in terms of raising the bar and always raising the bar, what we can commit to high level is that relative to the experience of the festival, we will continue to raise the bar. At the end of the day, we're trying to deliver on that expectation of what happens in Napa and the Napa Valley. And truth be told, that bar it's not really attainable. I mean, the expectations of what people have about Napa and the Napa Valley, whether it's food related, whether it's wine related, it's big. And so Justin, who primarily oversees our experience, continues to take it to the next level. And so, without getting into specifics, I can commit that it's going to be even better than last year.
And it's just hard to fathom that, because every year it's just a big production and so much behind-the-scenes work goes into this. Can you tell us a little bit about what happens behind the scenes?
Well, believe it or not, it's a 16-month planning process.
I can believe that.
We've got 20 full-time employees that are working literally 16 months out of the year towards each festival. The festival is in the tens of millions of dollars in terms of what it costs, whether we sell one ticket or not. And we're operating in a venue that's very tight. And so every inch has to be managed in terms of crowd flow, in terms of who we allow to sponsor the event, which vendors we allow related to food, wine, et cetera. And then, of course, you've got the seven stages, and then there's the bands. So it's full-time and then some. We originally thought it wouldn't be that way, but like in life, everything's a little harder than you think it's going to be, and it is what it is.
So not only you're planning for 2019, you're already planning for 2020.
In parts.
Parts of it.
Yeah, in fact, some of the things we're thinking about right now, we will actually build on in 2020.
Can you tell us a little bit about other productions that Latitude provides for the Napa Valley, such as the Robert Mondavi Concert Series?
Yeah, absolutely.
And others.
Yeah, so
people aren't aware of that. They just think Bottle Rock, and that's all they think about.
Which is fine, but you know, Napa is known for its hospitality, its beauty, its connection to food and wine, and we're trying to add another component, music. And so in addition to Bottle Rock, we produce the Mondavi Concert Series, as you talked about, the music for the PGA events, We do roughly 25 additional shows throughout the year at different venues in downtown Napa. And then we do a lot of privates at wineries and whatnot. And the idea really, again, is to get to that intersection of food, wine, and music. We're not yet there. People don't necessarily think music when they think Napa Valley yet. But we're working towards that goal and that brand.
Have you found other, I'm trying to think of the right word, but other events reaching out to you to provide music for them? Were they tried in the past, now they're reaching out to you
every
to
day.
Provide music?
Yeah. Every day. And we're passing. Yeah. You know, we did do a music festival a few weeks ago in Sonoma. But again, that's something that we inherently know coming from Napa, having been born, raised in Napa. We know a little bit about the food and wine experience, and Sonoma is known for that as well. And so that was an opportunity that we jumped on. But others, we've just simply passed on. It's not what we do. It's not what we know.
So, Justin, from a football standpoint, you know, and I know as well, you know, about playing your best as an individual, but teamwork. So how does the teamwork evolve into Latitude 38, working with David and Jason and yourself and your support staff?
Well, there's a ton of similarities between sports, especially football. Like you said, it's not an individual sport. In fact, there's easy examples all over the NFL and otherwise where there's a bunch of great talent and they just don't come together as a team and make it happen. So building a business of any kind is similar in that way, and definitely at Latitude 38 it's exactly like that. There's only three of us, and we wish at times there was 10 of us, because we have everything divided up. And people say, hey, Dave, what do you do for the company again? There's a list of like 20 things. Well, then there's another things that Jason Scoggins does and another 20 that I do. So,
right.
And we overlap and we team up on just about everything. So it's absolutely a teamwork. That's right. Yeah. And that's something we moved to over the last couple of years. We've been excited to hire more and more full-time people in Napa from Napa. So
great.
We've really tried to make this a Napa-built business. And we now have a great team that's right along with us. And it's a great team spirit.
I think it's fantastic. You know, and I have to admit, Ira, I myself have not been to Bottle Rock. Terry's been to Bottle Rock many, many times. She looks forward to it every year. But I'm going to have to get down there and partake. David did tell me that there's a band that I would like this playing this year that I'm going to have to go down and see. So he wouldn't give me the name, though. So I don't know if Frank Sinatra I don't know if Frank Sinatra can come back or not.
Elvis,
you know?
Is confirmed.
Elvis is confirmed. There we go. Well, you know, it must be nice to see all your friends here, and obviously, you know, the Aarons are here and watching their son play, a sophomore quarterback, and he's had a great year for Vintage High. And tell us a little bit about that, coming to watch Aaron and Jason Aaron or Jacob Aaron and others.
Well, the Aarons are close friends of all of ours,
right.
Dave, Jason, and myself. So it's really fun to see that next generation, you know, come to life. And it kind of brings back all that community spirit, and all the friends get back together and cheer on their sons and daughters and people they know. So it kind of brings everything back home for us. And well, Dave, Jason, and I all moved away from Napa for a number of years for career reasons and college and everything. We all ended up moving back. Like, why did we move back? Well, a lot of it was that sense of community that you have in Napa, and it really comes to life on nights like tonight at the big game.
Yep.
Got an inside story, actually, for you, relative to...
Absolutely.
A little inside story here for everyone relative to Jacob Aaron. So when Justin and Jason and I started this little company, during the festival, we have what are called runners. And so those are basically young interns working hard, being paid, of course, but they're hustlers. And so it's, hey, run and grab this ticket from this person and bring it here. Go grab that bench and move it there. Runners, right? Well, Jacob has been my personal runner since day one.
Okay.
So we're going on 6 years now. And Jacob, if you ever interview him.
We do.
Okay. Ask him about his experience being a runner at Bottle Rock, because he has a unique job also of, for example, when certain celebrity, especially athletes, arrive, he has to show them where to go.
Okay.
So this past year, Jacob had to go find Ronnie Lott, Barry Bonds, Sean White, you name it, and Jacob has to literally find those people and bring them to the place that they're supposed to appear. And so it's really hard, but he's good at being disciplined because you know that he's so excited to meet so many of his current and past heroes, but he's so professional that he doesn't bother the person for an interview. He doesn't tell the person, the celebrity, just how much he admires or appreciates that person. And it takes a lot of there aren't very many people his age that have that discipline.
That's right.
And he does. And that's why great. He continues to do it for us every year.
Well, we'll have to ask Jacob about that in our next interview with him. And in closing, Justin, tell us a little bit about Ira. I don't know if you know this or not. Justin's older brother, Jason Dragoo, who was a standout football player for Vintage, as you well remember. What is Jason Dragoo doing now, Justin?
Yeah, so my brother Jason, yeah, he had a great time playing football, but always had this unique passion from maybe sixth grade on for being in sports medicine. Everyone thought he was crazy. He's like writing a book in high school about sports injuries and all this stuff. And most people have their little passions as a kid, and it goes away, and they end up doing something totally different. Whatever reason, he stuck with it. It went right to med school and then right to orthopedic surgery and then a sports medicine fellowship. So he then landed at Stanford and has been there about a decade as a prominent orthopedic surgeon at Stanford.
And he's the Stanford football's team orthopedic surgeon. So another standout Vintage graduate moving on into the higher ranks and giving back to the community and so forth. I just love those stories. I absolutely love them. So Justin Dragoo and David Graham, two of the co-founders, along with Jason Scoggins, of Latitude 38, and everybody knows what Latitude 38, Bottle Walk producers, but many more, now giving back to the community. Ira, thank you for joining us. It was great to have you guys, and spur of the moment coming up here like that. David, I don't dare give David the mic, Ira, too much, because he'll take right over. He'll broadcast this game for us.
I'm in.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Hey, we appreciate the conscientiousness that you guys show towards the community. You're very conscientious. You're really good for the community. And keep up the good work. I appreciate that. Okay, good to see you guys. Well, we're just about ready to get the statistics of that game that ended a few minutes ago. What a game. 14-14 tie in the little big game. And that's the first time in the 47 years that the JV game has ended in a tie. Let's find out how that happens, statistically speaking, from another Jacob. This is Jacob Grant.
Well, so I normally would go with the team who lost the game, but since there was no loser of today's game, I'm going to start with the away team on the scoreboard, and it'll be Vintage. Their leading rusher with 111 yards on 7 carries is Dylan Smith. He had one touchdown and a long run of 62. The next closest yardage-wise was Riley Hatfield. He had 31 yards on 8 rushes. Behind him was Ian Avalos. He had 26 yards on 6 rushes. And then over in the passing department, you had Bill Scheidez. He completed 4 passes on 9 attempts for 1 interception, 44 yards, a touchdown with a long of 23. And then your leading receiver on the night was Reed McCaffrey. He had 1 catch for 27 yards. Edgar Navarro had 2 catches for 23 yards. And Riley Hatfield had 1 catch for 22 yards and a touchdown. And so that'll be your offensive stats for Vintage, your defensive stats. You have Mo Shamkel. He had 1.5 sacks and 1 tackle for a loss. And then you had Nick Schutisch had 1.5. He had 1.5 sacks on the ballgame. So those two combined for 3 sacks tonight, and that will be Vintage's stats. And then for Napa, their leading ball carrier was Trey Dennis. He had 47 yards on 8 carries, a long of 23 and 1 touchdown. He also fumbled the ball once but was able to recover it. Your next closest runner was Brody Jacks. He had 10 carries for 24 yards with a long of 9, and then the quarterback kept the ball 3 times for a total of 12 yards. In the passing department, Aiden McDonald was 3-for-8 with 1 pick, 31 yards, a touchdown, and a long of 42. Or not a long of 42, that was called back actually on a holding call. And then you had receiving, you had number 10, Christoph Horton. He had two of his three catches got called back on penalties. So he had one catch for 30 yards with one touchdown. So he was ineffective, but effective in the fact that he had three catches, but two of them got called back. And then defensively for Napa, you have number 40, Alex Caballero, with a pick. And that'll be those stats for those guys.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jacob, for that bit of information. Let's quickly select our players of the game from that first game. Then we'll move right in to varsity action. So, Kent, we'll let you lead off as far as selecting a player of the game from Napa.
I liked Rojas. You know, he went out late there in the injury, but he played a great game defensively. Horton played well, too, you know, the receiver. But Rojas, number 16 for Napa, was just all over the field, and he made tackle after tackle. Big number 16. I really liked the way he played, Ira. Okay. Isaac Rojas.
All right, and Jacob?
I'm going to have to go with Vintage's running back, Dylan Smith.
We're on Napa right now.
Oh, we're on Napa.
Yeah.
I would have to go with Trey Dennis. He had 8 rushes, 47 yards, and a touchdown, so I'd have to go with him.
That's who I was going to go for, too, Trey Dennis, just 5'8", but did a really good job. So, Jacob, we'll start out with you now for Vintage, since you already had somebody in mind for Vintage.
Well, yeah, I already basically said it. Dylan Smith, Vintage running back, he had 111 yards on 7 carries for a touchdown, and his longest run was for 62 yards and the touchdown. So that was a bright spot in Vintage's otherwise lackluster run game.
All right, Kent?
Yeah, I thought Smith ran very well. He's a tough player. I like the way he runs. He runs forward. He doesn't want to go out of bounds. But I'm going with the freshman. I'm going with number 42, Mo Shampkel, yeah, who was brought up from the freshman team, made tackle after tackle after tackle in there for a couple of sacks on the quarterback. But he was a stud back there. And just a lot of poise and composure for a young freshman on that JV in a big game like this.
Yeah, that first half especially, he was very tenacious out there. Well, I liked Dylan, too, as far as his overall performance. Shidez had some good moments as well, and those are ones that I was mainly considering. McCaffrey also came through with a few good plays. I'll go with Dylan Smith as well. So that is our story of JV football, the league, Vine Valley Athletic League. The game, the little big game, number 47. The results, 14-14 tie. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute to set the scene for tonight's big game, number 47, varsity action, after these messages.